This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR Radio.
Hi.
Hello, everyone. That's the longest outro to a song ever. What's going on?
It was quite long, actually. Yeah. It's a song all about cocaine.
Is it?
Which you think would normally just be pretty snappy at the end, based on
snappy, self-indulgent enough at the end. Yeah, that's it. This is Chris Martin
and Carl Donnelly.
We are the Agony Uncles on FUBAR Radio,
and just in general life.
I don't know why I got FUBAR Radio.
This makes it sound sexy, doesn't it?
It does, you know. Sexy radio station.
This is
what we did earlier. Was not sexy.
Oh my god! Pre-record, we were in the toilet together, both having poos. Actually, you went to go in the cubicle next to me, and I just went, "Mate, come on."
Yeah,
and you went, "All right, we'll put one in between."
We put one in between, and then I was still, because I hadn't seen you for a bit. I was having a catch up about your last few days, and then I could feel you getting uncomfortable that I was speaking to you whilst.
No, I wasn't. It wasn't that. I said, "Should we put some music on?"
You said, "Should we put some music on?" And I said,
"Not that sexy music." I mean, like, loud music.
And then I said, yeah, it's good. We don't, obviously, I guess we could have played some out of our phone, but imagine if someone, there was still, we hadn't locked the whole room, so someone could have come in. But then I realised that it was a bit odd that we were talking to each other, but it's definitely worse if we're both sitting in silence, listening to
music,
sound effects of each other's bums.
But it was actually, once we got chatting, I think we dealt with it fine.
It was nice.
I don't think I've ever done that before.
Yeah, well, there's very few times when you both secure that you're the only people in the room. Like, if there'd been a person in between, that would have been funny.
Terrible.
Just chatting over their head.
It's getting involved, isn't it?
So what have you been up to, Carlos, in the last few days?
I told you the reason I was so desperate for a poo is I've been drinking for 3 days in a row. In a week, I did that classic thing of saying, I'm not drinking for a week. And in that week, I drank 5 days out of seven.
Well, never put that pressure on yourself.
I know. It's just,
it's like wet paint. You can't help but touch it.
That's not true. I can always not touch wet paint.
Okay, it's not that way. It's like just when you say you're not going to drink and then you end up drinking loads.
Yeah, and I did. It's ridiculous.
Where were you drinking?
Brighton. 3 days in Brighton.
Good place to drink, though, isn't it?
This is a thing. It's
lots of tiny lanes.
There are tiny lanes.
A lot of alleyways.
A lot of bars, like pubs that are open late. Nice pubs. Yeah. You don't have to go to some moody club. Although one of the nights I did go to a place called Ricky Ticks, which is, I think, like the go-to place in Brighton for comedians to drink late.
Yeah.
Because there's just two swings you can sit on.
Are there? That's awesome.
Me and comedian Marcus Birdman sat on these swings, drunk, just, and they're right in the sort of, essentially, in this walkway between the bar and the main area of the club area. And just basically you become this weird sort of crossing ground for all the nutters that are walking through. So you end up just talking to everyone. So it's just kind of, you're like the guards to the club.
Not very well positioned for guarding.
What, on swings?
If it kicks off and you're on a swing, especially if you're mid-swing, you have to.
That's true. They're quite near to a wall, so you can't go too far back.
All right.
You essentially just maybe move 6 inches either way.
It's good. It's good novelty. No pool table. They've just got swings.
Yep.
I didn't do that. I was in London. I didn't drink, actually. But my mum and dad came to a show on Friday, and then my mum had a friend she hadn't seen for 15 years called Paul, right? Who was like a 60-year-old man from Hornchurch in Essex, and perfectly nice. But
your mum has male friends.
Well, she hasn't seen him for 15 years.
But even 15 years ago, she was still an old mum.
Well, she was 45.
This is funny age to have male friends. No, I'm not saying it's weird. I'm not saying there's anything going on. I'm saying that most mums just have mum friends.
They're not allowed to have a male friend.
Well, no, they're allowed. It's just rare, isn't it? My mum hasn't got any male friends. My mum doesn't want to go and hang out with Steve down the pub. She just goes and meets her. She's only got female friends.
I guess that's true. But it was more like she used to work with the guy, and then she, and my dad knew him a bit.
All right. I like the fact you suddenly got really worried.
Yeah, no. Oh no, actually I do look quite similar to Paul. What's been going on there? But he was perfectly nice, but then I swear he was, you know when someone's being so boring, you're like, is this a joke? Like, he started talking, he honestly was talking about insurance to me for 10 minutes, but he went like, yeah, I went to a relatively interesting topic for conversation. He goes, I went to watch the British Lions play rugby last year in Australia. He goes, went for 31 days and, you know, the travel insurance only covers you for 30. And I'm like, okay, is this a real... And then he goes, and you know what else, right? You know when someone gets excited about something, he goes, you know what else? Your home insurance, right? If you're away for over 30 days, becomes invalid.
No.
And
Sorry, Paul's pulled out a bag there.
Well, has he?
I didn't know that.
But then he goes like, "Yo, I've never ever thought of that in my life." But then he goes, "You know, and if you get mugged, if you get robbed on the seventh day,
that's invalid. The whole thing's invalid if you're over 31 days. Doesn't matter. It's not just for the first 30. It's the whole thing. Yes. So anyway, I went to Nationwide and you get for 60 days there. So and I was like, and then anyway, I was like, let's move on from this. And I said, oh, I'm going to New Zealand. And he goes, have you sorted out your insurance yet? And I go, what are you? Stop talking about insurance.
Obsessed. Shut up, Paul.
So hang on.
Are you still trying to get my mum having a male friend?
No, I'm trying to get over.
You're trying to get me insurance.
So hang on. How do they know you were away for over 31 days? So imagine you get robbed a week after you go away. And the police call you. Can you not start the insurance claim then? Or do you have to then tell
maybe,
them,
I don't know,
I'm
mate.
Away for 32 days and they're like, sorry, mate.
I don't know. I've not.
Unlike you. Unlike Fubar Radio. Let us know what your insurance
claims. I wanted to get out of that conversation as quickly as humanly possible.
That would have been me all night, mate.
Really?
We'd have ended up going, mate, me and you need to knock everyone else in the head and go to a pub and talk about insurance.
But other stuff I found funny is, have you ever spoken to your dad about sex ever?
No.
Because we started like going down this route of just talking about like first, it was about kissing. And my dad even didn't want to know.
We're
like, how old were you in first kiss? Oh, it doesn't matter. Just like, oh, come on, John. He said he wouldn't. He said it eventually got out of him last night. It was when he was 16 at a disco. And I went, what was her name? He said, who fucking knows? Didn't know her name. Doesn't care.
I would. The reason I wouldn't talk to my dad about sex is because I think it would open up a Pandora's box. I think my dad was a player before he met my mum.
Really?
Yeah, so I think it would just be, it would make me feel sick and jealous.
I wouldn't be surprised if my dad had only had sex with my mum, genuinely. He's just quite weird, so I just think...
But what did he look like when he was young? Because obviously now he's quite a rotund man.
He was less fat than he is
obviously
now.
Obviously, he wasn't born massive.
But you've also met him. He's a bit of a nutter, so like...
Yeah, but is that not more... Like, you know, you get more nutty as you go on through life. Everyone does.
I guess
you You never meet a 70-year-old who's, like, you know, just totally like more sane than they were when they were 30.
That's a good point.
Everyone just get... You know, it might be a little less crazy in terms of, like, drinking and partying and stuff, but... If you're not right up here, that will only get worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's deteriorated. The guy, he's got like ADD. He just halfway through a conversation just drifts off. Yeah. Doesn't give a shit. But he was really hard to get out of him how old he was when he had his first kiss and all that. And then we, just because I like to just push buttons, I went, how old are you when you had your first wank?
Oh.
So quickly, 13.
Like,
without even missing a beat.
Wow.
That's a bigger moment for him in his life than his first kiss.
That is... I don't remember how old I was when I did my first one of those.
Do you not? I remember you told me that you had a friend who
This is horrible.
Who did it on all fours.
Oh, no, sorry, I thought you were about to tell me something else.
What, a friend that you tossed off?
No, as much as I don't remember my own first...
This has gone ruder. We started talking about insurance, and now we're talking about
first
masturbation.
Was about cocaine. I think we can talk about masturbating. I've got one friend who, basically when we were about 17, did that thing of saying how he did it. And it just wasn't how anyone else did it. And he didn't know. So he was just like, yeah. So you guys, do you not just lay out a big thing of paper on the floor and then get on all fours over it? And you're like, no, we don't, James Kelly. That's his full name. He lives in Dublin now. You might know him.
I love it when someone does that. And you're like, yeah. No!
And it's like,
No.
But I was, this is horrific. I was present at one of my friend's first wanks. Not in the room. I had to wait outside the bathroom. And
it wasn't like a surprise party gone wrong. You were waiting behind the sofa and then you were like, oh no, it's too late now. We have to just keep quiet.
No, my mate Adrian, he was like 2 years older than me and we were like best friends. And so he hit his prime before me.
Yeah.
And we talked about it and he was like, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try my first one. And I was like, I'll wait outside the bathroom. And he went in and did it. And then he gave me like a sort of...
He gave you a little feedback.
Feedback. Just let me know what happens.
Why were you waiting? Were you listening through a door?
No, I wasn't listening. I didn't have my ear up against the door. It's just... I was just...
like a glass.
Moral support, isn't it?
Moral support. Was he giving you a running commentary or...?
No. He went very quiet. But, you know, just... waited.
That's just growing up, guys. That's what we do. Human beings, you learn.
There we are. We're living with
that. And just on this topic as well, my sister at Sunday dinner managed to drop this into the conversation, which she absolutely ripped it, mate. She killed. Yeah. She won Sunday conversation. She went. She went. My friend told me today she had a sore neck. She goes, a friend of mine had a sore neck for 2 weeks. Because he had a really aggressive wank and he injured his neck.
Oh.
How does that happen?
Yeah, that is. That's a bit. I've never even had a sex injury. No, that sounds weird. But you hear something.
Never got cramp. I've got cramp before.
Oh no, yeah, cramp. That's not an injury. That's not something that is. You have to go to a physio.
Just have a Lucozade and have a little muscle rub. You'll be fine.
And then get a footballer to come in and stretch your foot against your body and lean on you. John Terry comes in.
Yeah. By the way, if anyone doesn't know what's going on our radio show, it's not just us talking about
masturbating. Oh, no, no, yeah, sorry.
It is an advice show, so if you have any advice, please email us.
Is we've got, because we haven't seen each other in a few days, we've actually just started having a catch up.
Yeah.
Whereas this show isn't just about us, guys.
It's about you guys.
So emails, what's the email address?
studio@fubarradio.com.
Tweet us.
@fubarradio. If you've got the app, open the envelope, click on the envelope. There's a list of things you can do. Tweet.
You can record yourself talking.
You can leave us a voice message.
Yeah.
You can leave us a voicemail, which we will actually check, unlike most people who don't do it. Like Roisin Conaty proves on it. 296 unchecked voicemails.
That is unacceptable behaviour.
Scum of the earth. But you know how much pressure it is leaving a voicemail.
Do you ever re-record?
Yeah, I've done it before.
I never do. I just, whatever happens, happens.
It's just something really odd. When we're essentially, if you weren't here, I'd feel the same pressure as being on a voicemail. You just suddenly go, yeah, how's it going? And you just start going off on these weird, weird.
Because I don't re-record, I'm the king of the long voicemail.
Are you?
I'd say my average is over a minute, definitely.
It's too long.
It is too long, but, you know, I like a chat, and... And also, just, you know, if I've got, why would I be calling somebody if it's going to be something that's going to be less than a minute? You know, how many phone calls do you make to people that are less than a minute?
It's a funny time frame you put on that. Well, nothing important happens in under a minute.
Well, I'm not saying nothing important, but most phone calls are over a minute. Imagine I called you in an afternoon.
That's a good
and
point.
Just when we got to near a minute, yeah, I was like, bye, mate, bye.
That's two-way dialogue, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I feel for them when I'm doing a voicemail.
You role play. Hi, how you doing?
Oh, my God, how are you?
We've also got a comedian, John Hastings, very funny man. He's joining us in the second hour of the show. He's going to be playing Guess What I'm Eating.
Yep, a caller gets to try and guess what food is in his mouth while he's eating it in a microphone.
Do you know what you win? Absolutely fuck all apart from some pride.
You get pride.
Pride. You can't put a price on pride.
You get to tell your friends that you guessed what a Canadian comedian was eating on radio.
We also want you guys to suggest banal tweets that he has to put on his Twitter, see if he loses any followers or gains any followers.
We did it with Eric Lamper last show.
And what was the tweet?
The tweet was, I think, to do with...
Was it washing machine?
Yeah, it was something to do with like his washing machine or doing some washing up. Really boring. He managed to lose 2 followers and gain 2 followers.
Yeah.
So literally levelled out.
2 in, 2 out.
That's it.
System. Guys, get in touch. We'll speak to you after this.
And that was Gabrielle's Dreams. You didn't know that was coming on, did you?
I didn't. You surprised me.
I surprised you, mate.
Surprise.
What an absolute belter.
It's great. Welcome to Carl and Chris, by the way.
Sorry, that is not the sort of song we'll be playing throughout the show, don't you worry.
There's a reason behind it, though.
It's because we watched the film Magnolia the other week, and that is on the soundtrack.
They play it loads.
And since we watched that film, I've always liked the soundtrack, thought I had it, but didn't, so I downloaded it legally. And just in case, you know, some people...
No, you are right.
I don't steal music.
I totally believe in legal downloads, but I think that's partly because in my head, I think at one point I maybe will release something on iTunes, and selfishly, I don't want people to steal my content. But if I just worked... in a bank, I'd have loads of money, so I could, that's the bad example.
In a bank.
If I worked in a shop.
Not if you're like, what, in like HSBC, when the guy just points you at the machines? But
if I was one of those people in the bank that has the fastest fingers in the world at tapping in numbers, how quick are they at putting the numbers in the bank?
It's ridiculous.
It's like a superpower.
Yeah.
You give them a thing, and it's got...
It's crazy.
That's one thing that would be good about working in the bank. That's the main thing.
Just how quick your fingers
are. Just touching loads of money would be quite good.
Touching it doesn't mean anything, and it's to get to keep it.
It's like a small example. It's like Scrooge McDuck, but without the vault and the owning of the money.
Yeah, and be able to swim in it. I don't think bank staff on their break go, guys, can you mind the desk? I'm going for a swim in the money.
Gonna go hang out in the money room in the back. Put my goggles on.
Anyway, so that was Dreams by Gabrielle. Check out that the Magnolia soundtrack. It's good. It's got loads of good stuff, like Supertramp and Amy Mann did all the original stuff for it.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is not a show about music.
This is a show about advice. You can get in touch, guys. Actually, maybe some little cheeky bed in the background.
It's nice. That's nice, isn't it?
Makes me feel.
Are you feeling sad?
Yeah. Your concert. Are you feeling lonely?
Well, then get in touch with us here at FUBAR Radio, and we can help you out with your troubles and your needs.
No, no matter how big.
Or small.
Or white.
Or black. Well, I don't know what black problem is.
Let's not go near that one.
Why? No, I don't mean... I'm not saying we're going to say something to think... It could be about, you know, how reasonably priced their barbers are.
A witch's cat attacking you.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's coming up in a show later on. You go on, awkward go on, moments where Chris makes me say something almost racist.
Yeah, yeah. We have the almost racist section of the show.
Yeah. So you can get in touch and we will help you. And when John Hastings, our guest, who's coming in for the middle section of the show.
He sounds like an 80s like musician.
He definitely does.
John Hastings.
John Hastings.
Yeah.
Just back in the game. Yeah. That is new, his new album.
He's got long hair, a guitar, and he's like sitting on a truck going through the desert.
Do
or
you
something.
Watch The Voice?
No, I do not.
I have only just watched The Voice, and there's a guy on this year's show who literally looks like he's just stepped out of an 80s rock band. Oh, it's amazing. Snakeskin trousers, cowboy boots.
Great.
And like a white flowing sort of vampire
sounds
shirt.
Sounds like something you'd wear.
I wouldn't wear snakeskin trousers. I've actually got a pair of leopard print jeans. Never worn them out though.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't wear them on national television.
That's fair enough.
And I don't have cowboy boots. I've just got loads of Cuban heel boots.
What's the difference?
They
have to have a spur.
Different.
Is it a spur on
no,
the
No, spurs aren't. I think a cowboy boot is more about the design and the length of the boot. The boot has to go sort of right up to sort of near the knee. Anyway, coming up later.
Less fashion tips. It's where they used to put their money, innit? Cowboys put money in their boot.
Did they?
I saw that on a movie once. Yeah.
That's obviously what they
but,
did.
I mean, I wasn't around when they were around. But it's good. They'd take their boot out. And then they'd like.
Have you ever kept money in your shoe?
I did actually. Do you know what? This is really paranoid. I was in Manchester, did a gig the other day, got paid in cash.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a lot. And then for some reason in my head, I've decided that even though it was like a 5 minute walk back to the hotel, I was like, I'm just going to get mugged. So I just put money in the bottom of my shoe and just walked really uncomfortable. Because it was, like, not that I'm really rich, but it was quite. I mean, I couldn't have swum in it. It wasn't that much, but it made me.
Could have probably laid out some and just about covered the back of your body.
You said that in such an intrigued way.
I know. Well, what I'm saying is, if you actually just did an outline of a body, then you'd be fine.
Yeah,
but I've often thought about this, and I'm assuming that FUBAR doesn't get any, you know, listeners who are from the criminal underworld. But some comedians do, you know, get paid in cash from the big clubs. So any criminal in their right mind could just be, you know, on a Saturday night, just be waiting outside a comedy club, take down the comedians.
Yeah, that and the other thing I learned.
Don't do that, please.
The other thing I learned from doing comedy is sometimes you do gigs in nightclubs where they become a nightclub later on.
Yeah.
If you want free access to the nightclub, just say to the doorman, I'm one of the acts on tonight.
Absolutely.
And then their way of IDing it goes, what's your name? And to which you've just read in advance who's on. And then you go, Chris Martin. They let you in.
Yeah.
So if I ever stop being a comedian, I will be a free nightclub attender.
Yeah, but you can only go to nightclubs that have comedy clubs in.
Yeah.
You can't just do that at normal clubs.
Which are often quite bad nightclubs. Yeah, you can't just do that at like...
Shops like...
China White's. That's closed down now.
Yeah. Ruby Blue, is that another one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're all bad. Oceana.
Some Oceanas have comedy clubs.
Well, there you go.
Nice, it's a bloody minefield.
So we're going to do a little thing before we get into your advice, guys, where you click on the envelope on the app, email us, studio@foobarradio.com, and go on the website. There's all the numbers and tech. Just Google it.
Yeah, it's 2014. If you can't find it, then I don't even know you're listening to us.
Yeah, you need better advice, like get the internet. What we want to know is something about the news.
Well, basically, because we often talk about the news, and what transpires is you know nothing about the news.
I don't.
But weirdly, just before we started recording,
I read the Metro.
Yeah,
this
you
morning.
Actually read the paper, and you probably know more about the news this week than me because I have just been drunk for 3 days.
So, did you know that we're on the brink of a world war?
Well, do you know what? I knew it was about. I knew it was all sort of kicking off. I didn't know it got to this point until this morning.
It's basically like a massive game of Risk.
Well, yeah. But do you think, I know this is so simple and like, I'm going to sound like an absolute
Let's
idiot.
Not make it intelligent.
No, but like Putin genuinely looks like he's gone mad. I mean, he's genuinely trying to just annoy people.
Yeah, what's the thing I read was they've put loads of troops in Crimea to protect Russian speakers in Ukraine.
Right.
I think it's a bit over the top.
Yeah.
Doubt anyone was getting beaten up for just speaking Russian, and I doubt if they are, you need to just invade a country nearby. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't really make sense.
Have you ever seen a photo of Putin riding a horse topless?
No, but I want to
Google it. It's actually a very popular photograph online.
Really,
it's just how I've got to say that's one thing I've got a slight soft spot for him in that, you know, you wouldn't see David Cameron just riding a horse topless,
no,
and letting the like paps.
I reckon he's got quite a big moobs.
Who?
Cameron. I reckon he's one of those skinny guys that actually is fatter than you think he is.
Well, yeah, definitely.
If his boobs are anything like his forehead, they're going to be massive.
Hang on, here we have.
Oh, there we go.
Let me have a look. You can. He's wearing shades as well.
He looks like.
Google this. Just type in Vladimir Putin topless on a horse.
Yeah,
and you'll see what I'm talking about. But I just like the fact that, you know, he's obviously he's ex-military, isn't he?
He does. He looks like someone that would give John Matrix some sort of commanding in the film Commando. He looks like someone that would be above Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando.
Yeah, yeah. But it's something about saying ex-military.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I was ex-military.
Yeah, I'm not ex-anything. I'm ex, you know, kid.
Yeah.
I'm ex-worked at Gap Kids.
Ex-school. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's something really creepy about somebody who is a totally normal civilian who just knows loads about like military tactics.
My friend James's stepdad Jerry loves like war.
Yeah.
And like he's a grown man that has like every DVD on like wars and books on it, and like knows like names of guns and shit.
It's so creepy. My mate Paul Clark, you've met him, I think.
Yeah, I have.
Paul is IT consultant, and yeah. he's never seen any action.
But that's why he knows loads of stuff about it, because he sits in front of a computer all day. So
and he reads all like Andy McNab books. Yeah, and stuff like that.
You're so right. There's something so odd about.
But the two times I've seen it come to fruition, actually work out for him, is when we were about 15. We went to Laser Quest, and he just went full on native and just disappeared. Found a vantage point, just picked everyone off. And then even better was when we went on my friend Stag Do, went paintballing, and we had to attack a hill that was being defended by the other team. There was like 10 people on each team, and I know this, and I don't read these books. It's almost impossible to win from high ground. If they've got the high ground, you're going to lose in a gunfight. Right? Welcome to FUBAR Radio. Yeah. Sorry. But we were all trying to attack this hill. It was so difficult. We were trying to move up between the trees without getting picked off. And then Paul just said to us, guys, draw their fire. Just keep moving up, moving between the trees. And we were like, what are you going to do? He goes, don't worry about it. We start moving up the hill. 5 minutes later, all we hear from the hill is, bah, bah, bah. Paul comes to the front. He's basically gone round through the woods, come up behind them, pipped everyone and them off. He's walked to the edge of the hill where we can see him and just held his gun aloft. And Paul's like,
that's amazing.
Then we're like, that's actually really creepy, don't it? That night we realised that's really scary. He's going to start off.
He's basically practicing for a day when he goes postal.
Well, it's that thing. If anything, that's quite good, because you know you always see these films when war comes, like Terminator and stuff, and like, there is always a post-apocalypse where you know real people have to step up to the plate.
No, I'm getting nowhere near the plate.
Seeing as Russia are about to try and start a Cold War, Paul might have to be a general in about 2 years.
Yeah, he might be the new John Connor. But yeah, no, it looks like we are on the brink of a war. It seems weird though, because only 2 weeks ago we were just high-fiving the Russians for putting on a lovely Winter Olympics.
Yeah, but were we? There was still all the undercurrent of homophobia.
Well, there was that, yeah.
Yeah, there was that.
It's basically like they almost like the people on Come Dine With Me, where they put on like a really good meal, and then they go around to someone else's house and they're just so bitchy.
Yeah.
But instead of being bitchy, they're going to try and kill loads of people with guns, which is...
Yeah, that's much worse.
Way worse.
Much worse than...
It was also, before we go to a song, it was also the Oscars last night.
Oh, it was, yeah. Sorry, because if you're listening to this as it's going out, this is a pre-record.
Oh, sorry, it's the Oscars the day before. How slick was that?
Oh, so it was good. Simon just gave you a look to say, like, come on, mate.
It was the Oscars at some point in the past.
2 days.
Yeah.
Or potentially a week if you're listening on download.
Yeah.
I don't know the results.
Do you want to know?
Yeah, please.
After Earth with Will Smith and his son absolutely raked in.
I watched that last week. It's one of the shittest films I've ever seen.
I read about that when it won loads of Razzies.
Oh, yeah.
It is crap.
It is absolute cack. It actually...
Say that his son annoys me. He's too smug.
He's too... It's like he's got the confidence of Will Smith about 10 years ago. He's like 14.
Yeah.
And it's like that.
But he can't get on all the rides at Chessington. Why is he so cocky?
Although he's actually very tall.
Is he?
Yeah, he looks it.
Okay. But I thought you were going to whip out. He's actually 6'4".
He looks it from the screen. Will Smith is very tall, isn't he?
Yeah, but his son's not as tall as
him. He's not as tall as him, but his son's much younger.
Is his son much younger than him? Oh my God.
What I mean is his son is not like massively smaller than him. You know, you don't see his son next to him. He looks like a 5-year-old.
Okay.
So anyway, who won?
12 Years a Slave did well.
Good.
And Gravity did well. And Matthew McConaughey won Best Actor for...
Do you know what I'm really happy about that is? I've backed that man since day one. Fool's Gold, since How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, since Failure to Launch.
Yeah.
When everyone was slagging him off, I was like, trust me. Magic Mike was the one that turned it. Magic Mike was the one that suddenly made people realise he's a good actor. I've been saying it from day one, mate.
Yeah.
And now... I'm just well excited when you back a winner.
Yeah, it is. Well, he's your top man crush, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
And even in this film, when he's got looking gaunt like he is.
What is it? I haven't seen Dallas Buyers.
It's about he's got HIV.
Oh.
And that's
I don't know why I made that noise. Like my one man
that's
crush
why he won.
Has got AIDS.
That's
in a
why
film.
He would have won.
Why?
Because it always they always give an Oscar to someone that has a bad disease in a film or has
true.
A thing. It does happen a lot.
Just basically what you're basing that on is the fact that Tom Hanks in Philadelphia had AIDS.
Yeah.
Which is the only other time.
No, but like didn't Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man?
Yeah, but he had autism.
Well, that's not a great disease.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It's not. I mean, it's not.
Anyway, email us on studio@footballradio.com where we'll be talking about stuff slightly more cheery than HIV.
And we're back with a bit of Chaz and Dave there.
Bit of Chaz and Dave.
No Pleasing You, which is, I think, a very good blues song written by two Cockney geezers.
Two geezers?
You should see them live. They are very fun.
You went to watch them recently, didn't you?
I went to watch them, and it was an amazing mix of people at the gig. It was basically half older people. Is there a weird noise?
I can hear a weird
there's
noise.
There's a truck going on past really loudly outside the studio.
Is there a truck outside?
I think there is, yeah.
Okay.
If you can hear that at home, we apologise. It's not our fault, though. It's a truck.
Yeah. It's we can't ban asked. Trucks on roads outside the radio studio.
It must be massive, though, to be causing noise in here. Yeah, the mix of the gig was like 50% probably oldies that were back in the day. We'd have to be at Chaz and Dave. And then there was like, obviously, sort of 50% young people, myself included, who obviously just...
Are you a young person still?
Hey, I wasn't around when Chaz and Dave first came out.
That's true.
I remember Snooker Loopy, but I was about four. and obviously they're Spurs fans. They did the old Cowboys Spurs. And basically, yeah, it was weird. There's like half of the crowd were sort of just well up for it, young people who treated it like a sort of football match. And it was at the Union Chapel. You're not allowed to dance at the Union Chapel. There's no mosh pit, but the young people stormed it, and we ended up causing...
It's like a protected building. It's an old church.
Yeah, we just were pissed, mate.
And so you have to just sit down and watch?
Yeah, you sit in the pews and watch.
I never
music.
Get that. How can you just watch a band on the chair?
Well, if it's... I've once saw Laura Marlin at Guildford
that's
Cathedral.
Enough. That's Laura Marlin, though.
And that was amazing. Like, she was, you know, it just suited the room, and you sit there and you listen and you watch. But yeah, I couldn't imagine seeing, like... Queens of the Stone Age there.
Just sitting down going, yes, it's quite good.
And that's the thing, everyone was doing that for Chaz and Dave, but like towards the end we were just like, this can't happen. There's a good 6 foot area wide area just in front of the first pew that I reckon we could storm and start a sort of dancing area, and we did that, and the bouncers tried to stop us about 5 times and then gave up.
It's always good when the bouncer just goes, nah, laters.
Yeah.
So this is the advice show, guys.
This is Football Radio. Carl and Chris, helping you out with your problems.
So we've got the first bit of advice today. Hi, Carl and Chris, I need your advice. I have a friend who's a bit full on. He will constantly turn up at my flat expecting an evening of entertainment. When I was, it's just funny. It
definitely sounds creepy.
When I would quite like a night in on my own. The reason he's keen on hanging out at my flat is because he isn't getting on with his flatmates. I feel guilty saying he can't come round. However, it's getting a bit much. What do I do? Thanks, Jessica.
Oh, it's Jessica.
It's Jessica, and it's a...
Is it a bloke?
He will constantly turn up. And I assume Jessica is a young girl.
Maybe Jessica, you need to have a little think about the concept of that. That is an excuse he's using to come and see you.
Yeah.
Because you are a lady with lady bits.
I have. With all the components of the melody.
With all the ingredients, baby.
All the stuff in the right places. Mm-hmm.
No, but you know, he might not be getting on his flatmates, but he's putting too much on you. And I think either that he's using it as an excuse or he just needs to grow up.
I've been that side of the coin, if that's the right phrase, where I don't know. It sounded like it was a real phrase. I think I'm using it wrong. I remember I was at university.
I've been on that edge of the sword. I know what you mean.
I've been on that other foot with the shoe on it. I used to really like a girl called Georgie Whirly. Which is her real name.
Whirly.
Because she was blonde and she...
Was her nickname Curly Whirly?
I think it was like, we were like at uni, so like, that's too obvious. So,
mate, just that would be my nickname for her now, and I'm 32.
Okay, so there we go. I I wish she'd been a curly whirly, because then she would not have broken my heart.
She would have just pleased my belly very briefly.
Although actually, got stuck in your teeth.
Well, weirdly, so you don't chewy. Like curly whirlies, do you?
Well, not anymore, because they've got milk chocolate in and I'm a vegan.
I thought pre-vegan you didn't like them.
Pre-vegan, I didn't like them.
You said to me it's annoying how you pay for a chocolate bar, but it's essentially half a chocolate bar with all the holes in it.
That could be something that I said. But
looks like a shit ladder.
Yeah, it is. A contemporary ladder. No, but I don't like the curly whirly because it's too chewy. You end up with so much of it in your teeth.
That's annoying.
And with all the holes already, it's such an unfulfilling snack.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah,
you want to as soon as you eat a meal. It's true. The admin.
It's like wafer.
It's like a come down.
Wafer based snacks. Tastes good, but half of it's air.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? You eat it and it's like, why do I not feel full? I would say a massive wafer. And you're like, that's because it was, you know, majority air pockets.
That's a good point. There's certain, like a croissant, not on the air thing, but when you're like, afterwards, when it looks like there's been an explosion on your clothes, you're like, this is a nightmare. Just having like fucking pastry dandruff on your shoulders post snack is annoying.
It's like you've murdered the gingerbread man or something. It's all got this blood all over you.
But yeah, so Georgie Worley, I very easily fell in love with her because she was blonde and she supported Arsenal and like went a lot.
Double whammy.
So you're just like, you know when you meet a girl and you're like, you're not real. And then it clouded the fact that actually she had a boyfriend who was a Spurs fan.
Oh,
and I was like, that's wrong. And I was like convinced I was going to get in there to the point where I'd go around to hers all the time. I'd watch 24 with her.
Yeah.
And then eventually she snogged my mate.
What?
She snogged my mate
behind her boyfriend's back.
Ugh. And my mate, I only found that later. He told me like a year later that he'd. Like, I knew it had sort of gone off the rails.
Had they done more than just kissing?
I think so. I don't want to go into details.
Did she mate support? It's the most important question.
Supported
here.
Her on his knob. Anyway,
supported.
Horrific.
It is a terrible way to describe
sex.
Yeah. Supported her with my knob.
Yeah, if she's, you know, unstable.
But it's not really support when it goes inside. I almost made myself sick because I was saying them words. Apologies to everyone listening for what just happened.
We got a little bit blue there. So I know what it's like, that side of the coin. Yeah?
Yeah.
And just, if it's not on the cards, you don't want to just go, we're not going out. You don't want to just whip that out because, no, we've just been friends. But I've also been on that, on her point, from her, whatever, I don't even know what analogy I'm talking about now. I've been in her shoes before.
Yeah.
Where, not like, I've had a male mate. If you have those mates that are just a bit too keen to hang out a lot.
Yeah.
And you're like, I quite like them, like once every 3 weeks, but then it's difficult because you've just got to phase them out a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Just be a bit shit at replying to texts. Because you can't be like, can we hang out less? Because there's no way that's ever going to be understood.
No.
Just be like, just sound really busy at the moment.
Yeah, I think so.
But if he keeps rocking up to our house. Yeah.
This is the problem. You need to, almost, your friends need to go into categories, innit, of how often you can face seeing them.
It's true.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to have like your sort of, it's like almost belt at karate.
Like you're my favourites. I can call you every day, could probably see you every day.
Yeah.
If we had to. I mean, we hope we've got more going on in our lives than that.
Luckily we do, I think, have more because, as I say, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
But we do, we speak most days.
Yeah.
And yes, yeah, so you're a black belt.
Quality. What Dan am I?
You're good. You've got a few notches on the belt. Okay. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
There's a few of them. But then, you know, there are mates that definitely are just that belt you just buy at the shop. But when you first go to karate, who I like them, but I can see him maybe once a month.
Yeah,
we ain't going to chat on the phone very regularly.
I've got those mates as well that I realise I really like in a group, but I would never text them or call them for an individual meetup.
Yeah.
I've actually got way more of them than I used to think I had. I've got more people now, just from having a girlfriend and seeing people less, that I'm suddenly like, I don't know if I want to see them one-on-one. It's like really just diminishing. Totally.
I genuinely think when you are single, your tolerance for them sorts of mates are so much higher.
Yeah,
because they're normally the ones that you just can just go out and get pissed at any point with.
Yeah, you get pissed at any point, and then you can like be in a nightclub till 3 a.m, just like staring at girls.
Yeah.
But then when you get into a relationship, you're like, I don't want to just stare at girls at 3 a.m. in a nightclub.
Yeah.
I realise I have nothing else to. I just want to stare
at her while she's asleep.
Whilst eating a gingerbread man over her head. I've got a friend that I realise. Have you got friends like this before that you could only ever like genuinely hang out with when you're single? Really, like, I had a friend that I would go out with on the pull when I was single. Now I've got a girlfriend. I'm like, I can't. it's I don't have anything to talk to him about.
No, because all you would do is sit there and just go like, well, yeah,
I'll be like, there's one, there's another one.
Yeah, it's just, I've got mates who are relentlessly obsessed with females. But anyway, but Jessica, we're not saying, I'm just saying that is an option. This guy might be doing it as an excuse to see you, so you need to address that if you think that's going to be an issue. If it's not, then
just, if he's just a bit too keen, just phase him out a little bit. Say you're busy.
Get busy. You can't always be there for him.
The reason he keeps hanging out at my flat is because our friend Matt Ford said that it's sort of vaguely similar to this, but he said he had a one night stand and he wanted the girl to leave the next day, so he took a fake phone call pretending it was his landlord coming over and said that his landlord wouldn't allow guests in his house.
As if that's a, no landlord could say,
not even
look,
a rule.
Sorry, when you're here in this house, you have to be alone. It's not a flipping monastery. You're allowed to have.
You could imagine that girl like walking off, going, "Okay, that's fair enough." Probably got home and told her mates, and her mates were like, "That is definitely a lie.
You've just been mugged. So anyway, we're going to play a song.
We're going to have John Hastings
in the building.
We're going to have him on very soon. If you've got any banal tweets, please tweet us at Fubar Radio. We're going to make him put them on his Twitter
or email studio@fubarradio.com.
Thanks, guys.
Go. That was a Velvet Underground. Venus in Furs.
Bit of a downer.
R.I.P. Lou Reed, guys. Let's just chuck a little
R.I.P.
Yeah. Sad for him to leave us so soon. We've got our guest in to pick us.
He's here
up.
Early. He was in the building.
You, John Hastings, say hello.
Hi, everybody. How's it going? It's so good to be here on Fubar Radio, where there are never any technical problems.
It's a little reference to something that has just happened while that song was playing.
Yep.
Yeah, but there were some issues, guys, but we resolved
them.
We're past
the issues, man. Let's get move on.
We have convinced ourselves that it's your voice.
Yeah, I'm quite aware of the eight people all staring at me. By the way, the staff of Fubar Radio are the most We Work in Radio looking people I have ever seen. Yeah, that's fine, but it's true. If you go to any radio station, there is always the like slightly thin guy beard who has like the answers to the questions, and then there's the like fix it guy who looks like he was just in a laboratory, just like let me get to that as soon as I'm done building my lady robot for kissing.
Those glasses aren't even prescription; they're just for show.
Yeah,
you've got to wear glasses. You've got to wear glasses.
Like Drew
Which
Carey.
People do wear these? Since I got laser eye surgery 2 weeks ago, people have said, "Are you going to wear the fake ones?" And I was like, "No, that's just because the reason I got laser eye surgery is because I don't want to wear glasses.
It would just be a waste of $2,000.
I'm not Clark Kent. I'm not going to start putting fake glasses on to cover up my powers.
Are those fake glasses? I thought those glasses. This is going to show how nerdier than the guy who fixed the microphones. Isn't the glasses somehow infused with some magic that make people not recognize his face?
No.
I think that was a trivia on the show Beat the Nerds.
Oh,
from
really?
The 90s, which is a Canadian television show that I'm bringing up in the UK.
Yeah. No one telling me it wasn't just the glasses and the slightly different haircut.
Correct, my friend.
And the fact he wore
I'm
a
saying
suit.
It was magic.
Oh, and a suit, yeah.
And the fact that he also always changed in a phone booth, even though every phone booth I've ever seen is pretty much made of glass.
And smells of piss.
That's
and
true.
I also understand that it was a skin-tight suit, so that wouldn't show up under a suit. Where's that cape going? He looked like a hunchback.
God!
He looked like a hunchback.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant point.
No, it would work. We'd have to really like get someone to like just press it against his back as he's
make sure and push like either side of it right down the back of his bum cheek.
I was just thinking that. He's got to tuck it into his bum cheek, clench really hard.
Oh, just on a summer's day that's just sticking on the underside.
Dutty, isn't it?
And getting the collar over
Unless
it. And
it's
everything.
One of them ones. Have you ever bought one of them coats that's got a hood that rolls up into the collar?
Yeah.
Or it was in his briefcase, which I just thought of, because he also always had a briefcase.
Yeah, that's true. Actually.
Who hasn't bought a Swiss Army coat before, Carl? So John's in early, and we were just saying off air that last time I saw you, you got into my mind by heckling my clothing. Talking of clothing, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You're dressed very nice today, by
Thanks,
the way.
Thanks, man. I rocked up at a gig, and me, John, and Carl were all on, and John asked if I was wearing a leather shirt.
Chris is being much more polite. I think I said, so you're wearing a leather shirt now? and Chris also has like this beautiful doe eye, like, what? No. Like, I've just been like, oh, so you're a racist now. He's like, you make one joke about the Polish. Like, and he just, like, I think I really got into his head and I felt really bad.
Yeah, I thought you were trying to psych me out from this gig we were doing
I've tried to convince you in the last week to get a very trendy coat. No, but you ain't going to buy it.
I'm
it
not
looks
gonna
so
buy
good
it.
On you.
No, it
and
doesn't.
That sounds really strange for no, me to say to you, but it looks good.
It looks too stylish. I can't.
What's wrong with that?
Listen to me. Carl recommended a coat that I should buy. and I didn't buy it, and it haunts me to this day.
That's true, man.
Like, life could have gone so different if I had that coat in my life. Yeah. Like, I would have looked like some sort
I
of.
I don't know why. I can pick a jacket for anyone.
I just think
I should be a jacket salesman.
I wouldn't take myself seriously wearing it.
Why?
Because I think
you don't have to, mate.
From
it's too
years
cool.
of being around,
everyone else would take you seriously.
Years yeah. of being around friends, just taking the piss out of anything that was a bit different or unusual, I'd just be like, I could just, I know
Chris
if I wore
around
a
lot of racists.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. I know if I rocked up, I guarantee if I rocked up at like the pub to see them, I'd be like, oh, someone's got a new jacket, and then.
But that would just be true. You've got a new jacket.
Yeah, but they'd say it in a way that would undercut me.
How would they say, okay, let's do a scenario. All right, I will be you, but for some reason you have a loud Canadian accent. The coat's made you so cool that you've become North American, and you be your friend. So I'm going to walk into the pub. That's me walking into the pub.
Oh, fucking hell. Where did you get that?
I got it at Zara, and it was half price. Where did you get that, you asshole?
There you go. Good, mate. Actually. You got a man up.
No, then they go, ooh, someone's taking it a bit seriously. The new coat's made you act like an arrogant prick.
No, it's not. It's my sense of entitlement and the fact that I've got my life together and you guys have been drinking all day.
Ooh, someone's using big words like entitlement.
That's correct. I paid attention during my O-levels, A-levels?
A-levels, yeah.
A-levels.
During my A-levels, so...
I love if I was having this conversation with my actual friends. I paid attention during my A-levels.
Listen, if I was having this conversation with my friends, I think one of them would have wedged me.
Yeah.
And they're all adults with kids, which is very strange.
Right? You've got a lot of adult mates with
I do have
kids.
Like,
hang on, you're like the same age as me.
We are, yeah. But
you look, I mean, you're just tall. You're a real man.
I also do, but I've also aged in this very weird way where I've looked 31 since I was about 18.
Oh, really?
Like, I was like, baby face, and then I woke up one day and it was just like, all right, I'm ready to look like I've been working in a dust mine for 15 years.
Well, I'm going grey, and I'm 32. I have been going grey since I was 17.
Yeah, you serious?
And the actual rate of it is so slow that I still think I've got a good 30 years before I'm grey.
Yeah. Well, the thing with it is it could be, because you're very fashionably dressed. It could almost be on purpose that, like, you've just got a little bit of gray. You're just like,
just put a little bit of salt and pepper in it.
Just tout your hair.
Like, no, it's genuine. It's probably from anxiety in my teens.
We were talking about this the other day about people.
You've got anxieties, get in touch at Fubar Radio. Yeah. That's what we're here for, guys.
If you would like some people to make fun of your coats or to talk about anxiety, that is fubarradio.co.uk.
Actually, now we have got you here. We want people to tweet in a banal tweet that you have to send off your Twitter account. How many Twitter followers have you got?
I recently got a boost. I can't believe I know this number by heart. Oh, I'm such a loser.
What do you mean you got a boost?
I was stuck at 1,960 for 6 months. I couldn't budge. I was live tweeting. I was getting all in it. Nothing. Last 3 weeks, boom, 2019. Mm. What is up?
2019. It's good to know that you know the
John Hastings out there who's done something.
I think there probably
is. One of the Winter Olympics.
I think there may. There's a cricketer named John Hastings, and when he gets up to some stuff, I get a little bump, and then it goes away because then they're like,
they realize.
Why is this cricketer talking about stand-up comedy and his dung?
So we want people listening to send us tweets at Fubar Radio, and we're gonna make you do this tweet,
please.
And what it's got to be banal and boring. And we'll see how many followers you lose. If we get you below 2,000, that'd be phenomenal.
That'd be great. This is the thing. As much as I want to gain followers, I also love destroying followers.
Lovely
stuff.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
I think Pete Johansson, I remember, did a really good tweet going, I've got the same number of followers as people that died during 9/11. Or brackets, well, I did before I did this tweet. Nice.
Yes.
Anti-Twitter right there.
Ooh.
Different level shit.
I tweeted about my farts for an entire week. I literally started the Monday and I said I'll be tweeting about my farts for the next 7 days. I lost 150 people.
Wow.
Because, really?
Yeah. Every hour I was in Toronto, it was like middle of the summer, I wasn't doing anything, and just every hour I'd do it, and I had such fun. People got enraged that they were just like, could you, like, friends who follow me on Twitter, like, could you stop bringing that door open as if on its own power? That is frightening.
It's like someone farted the other side of the door.
Ghost fart.
It'd be amazing to think that 15 years ago, if someone had said to you, when you're an adult, you're going to tell people over the internet how your farts are every day for a week.
Guys, do you understand how, like, we've made it in terms of life, in terms of we are all, like, very much adults, and all of our friends are impressed that we are comedians. Like, they're like creating babies, contributing to the economy. Man. Like, I got drunk 5 times last week, and all of my friends would be like, yeah, why wouldn't you? Like,
yeah,
exactly.
I had this exact same conversation with my friend Davide Bianconi, right?
Please tell me he's some sort of Italian filmmaker.
No, he's from an Italian family.
Oh, we can tell.
Born in South London, and he works in mortgages.
Can you give me his name again, please?
Davide Bianconi.
Oh, great,
and powerful.
Basically, he works in mortgages, and we went out for a drink post gig about 2 weeks ago, and at the end, after the gig, he's getting married in July, and you know, he's bought a house, he's doing all that stuff, and I basically was just telling him stories about getting shit faced all over the world. He was just so excited. He was like, "You've got the best life," and I was like, "You own a property," and you're probably, you know, when you hit 60, you probably won't have a realization that you're just going to die on benefits.
Yeah, so you're going to die drunk in Cambodia.
But what a way to go out! You know what I mean? Just drunk, shooting things.
In the middle of nowhere. I can see that happening.
Once you hit 60, it's the world.
But Cambodia makes it sound like you've hit 60 and gone there to have sex with underage people.
At 60, I'm doing heroin. I'm 60, if not 60.
Again.
70. Again. Yeah, 70 for sure. I'm just
every
picking
year
it up.
On the year. Are you going to do live tweets for a week about your heroin?
It would be like one good tweet and then just like,
hey, should we make a pact on here? Like, you know, when some people go, if we're not married by the time we're 40, we get married. Yeah. If we've not done heroin by the time we're, how old are you? 27?
28.
32.
Okay, so what's the age thing? You'd have to wait a little bit. Well, you'd have to wait longer from now.
I just get to do it first.
Yeah, you would get to do it first. You
and
would
then
be
report back.
You'd be our canary in the coal mine in terms of doing heroin. I think this is a very good idea, actually. Like, so we make a pact right now on internet radio that at 70,
I'm not hitting 70.
You're totally hitting 70.
I'd be very surprised.
You're English. Do you understand? My grandfather is his stock is like English and Scottish. He is 79.
Yeah,
I've never not seen him smoking. Like, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. Like, he's within 20 seconds of like putting it out, having another one constantly.
Wow.
Every like 5 o'clock on the dot, it's gin and tonic time, straight through until bedtime.
I love that gin and tonic time. Yeah. every old person should have
it. It is tremendous. Like, it's literally 5 o'clock, and you literally see them just like wander in the kitchen, take it out, and make it like.
I think the fact they put tonic in it, it makes it sound like it's way better for you than it is.
Well, tonic is good for you, essentially.
But if you've got malaria,
well, that was why they started drinking it.
It's good if you've been on a ship and you're trying to avoid rickets. It's good for working in an office.
Yeah.
And he's 79, and he's only now starting to have some health problems.
Wow.
In the UK stock, English stock, is literally, you could hit them, hit you guys with a bullet.
Yeah.
And you're like, no. And just like,
not today, thank you.
Yeah, it's all genetic. It's totally going to be fine. You're going to be good. I'd say 75.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I start heroin at 70, I'd give myself a year.
72.
Yeah.
72.
But it'd be so weird if you've got grandkids and they just rock up at your like deathbed and you see like needles in your arms.
Yeah.
I'm going to explain it to them. At that point, I hope they'll probably be very small because the way my life's going, I'm not going to have kids for a long time. But just be like, listen, Grandpa's lived a life and now he's going to go out the way he came in.
Yeah.
On opiates.
Yeah.
That was a very small glimpse into you go, the way it's going, I'm not going to have kids for a very long time.
Yeah. Because I already have this pact where at 30, I'm just going to smoke crack for a year with some other guys.
Okay.
Stop making packs of other people. You pack slut.
Just drug packs across the board. You've got one every decade.
Yeah, every time I appear on any type of radio station, I force them into some sort of pact.
Well, not just packs, we're going to be giving out advice.
So we're going to give people advice. They can get in touch at Fubar Radio, email studio@fubarradio.com, and it sounds like you've got some love life problems, so we're going to come back and talk to you about.
I'm very excited.
It's going to be good. That was Puddle of Mud. She hates me. There's loads of swearsies in that, isn't it?
Yeah, there really are.
It's something exciting about being able to put swear words on the radio.
Yeah. It does feel very cheeky, right?
I know, but this is Fubar Radio.
Do you want to say one, John? Just get it up.
I don't know what I was about to say. Tits, which is not a swear word.
No, it's cool.
Yeah, you tits can't say, is a swear word.
Is it a swear word?
You can't say tits on Radio 1.
Yeah, but you can't really
you
say
can
anything.
You can put them on the radio, though.
Wait a minute. So do you mean like you actually literally put someone's tit on a radio?
Just rub a tit on a mic. Which we're going to be doing later.
We're
going to
play Guess What Body Parts on the Mic.
Oh, I cannot wait for the third hour.
We are going to be playing Guess What I'm Eating with you though soon.
What?
So you're going to eat something down the mic and someone's going to ring in the next section and guess what you're eating.
bizarre show you guys seem to be running here. I love it.
It's a game. Have you never played Guess What I Mean?
No.
Me and my friend Rich invented it a few years back. But we assumed other people would play it somewhere around the world, where you basically put something in your mouth, start chewing, call your friend, they answer the phone, and you just got to go with it in your mouth, Guess What I'm Eating, and then just chew, and they got to guess what you're eating. And if they get it, you've got to buy them some of that snack.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you can't do it with like caviar. You're going to like lose a lot of money.
Right. I mean, no, but it actually, I tell you, me and Rich used to do extreme Guess What I'm Eating. To do it from home, and you take one bite of what you're eating and you call them, and if they guess it, you have to courier the remainder of it to them.
That's insane.
But obviously you always pick something they're not going to guess, but now and again, if you wanted to, if you're feeling a bit lucky,
bit of toast.
Yeah. Call them one bite. Yeah. If they guess a bit of toast, you've got to courier 3/4 of a bit of toast to someone's house.
Did you ever have to courier?
No, never. No one ever got it. We had some time, so it was close.
Like you said, like Melba toast, and it was like brown toast.
No. If he would have said toast, he would have got it. Right. Mm. No, I mean, there was times when it was just out of the blue. Somehow he just guessed like a chocolate bar, and it was like just, you know, if he said like Snickers or Mars type thing.
Well, wait a minute. But it was a bounty, and therefore.
Yeah, I mean, so you have to. Yeah, if it's a chocolate bar, you've got to guess the chocolate bar.
That's insane. That's impossible.
Yeah, it's good, but you got. If you listen, you can hear. You got to know. You know what it sounds like to eat a Snickers.
Yeah, it sounds exactly the same as you're eating a Mars bar or Snickers a bounty.
What you got to listen for on the Snickers is you go through the levels, man.
Oh my lord!
Chocolate, caramel. Then you hit the sort of nougat, and then suddenly the nuts get involved. That's when you know this ain't
the
a Mars.
Nuts get involved.
the nuts join the party.
Yeah, the moment the nuts show up, you know this ain't a Mars bar.
We also used to play Guess What Shop I'm In, where you ring someone up and you just go, Guess What Shop I'm In. Very simple. I managed to guess once.
Such a niche shop as well. Like the trick is to go into, like, if you go into like a H&M,
yeah, you're going to know.
It's going to be like. It's going to feel like it's in a shit nightclub.
A really good one to do is All Saints, which sounds like. Those other two, but no one goes and immediately thinks, oh, this guy would be an All Saints.
Yeah, they look at you and go, this guy can't afford All Saints.
But I once called Chris from a shop in Carnaby Street. It's no longer there, but they are online. It's called Merck. That's an advert. We're allowed to advertise here. They're a good shop. Yeah. But it was like, that was literally the only shop in London. What is that noise?
Yeah, that was really loud. Seriously. It's the people from Merck showing up to thank you for your advertisement.
Don't worry, guys. Anytime.
Carl.
And I called him. There was only one of these shops in central London.
Oh, yeah.
And I called Chris up. All right. Guess what?
How did you know?
I'll tell you the deduction skills. I was meeting you on a parallel street, Kingly Street, and I knew you were shopping nearby. And I was thinking, I reckon he's going to go, I've walked past it with you before, and you've gone, oh, have you been in there? So I was like, I can use that bit of Rain Man knowledge. And I went, is it Merck? Yes, thank you very much.
Boom.
I'm the best. Lost it, mate. Absolutely
you were like
Dr.
House.
Yeah, exactly. I've not watched that, but I know it's Hugh Laurie.
You're like Hugh Laurie with an American accent and a cane.
And it was really good for the first series, but then after that...
Is it Hugh Laurie now is really good?
Seriously, there is somebody outside this studio.
What I like about Fubar Radio...
Either someone's an angry or there's a lot of attractive women walking past a geezer.
Also, I don't think I've ever heard a horn honk in London before.
You've taken them in.
I'm not.
No, I know what you mean. Like, compared to, have you been to like Nepal? They just actually just honk it every four. Well, you're in India, mate. India.
But I mean, you still in central London. You still hear them.
Rare. Like in Canada, it's the time. Really? Like beep 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 beep. Yeah. Yeah. Just making songs.
Sound like a clanger.
Yeah. Listen, we don't have a lot going on in Canada, so sometimes you just get on the highway and sing a song with your horns with your other driver friends.
Chilled out place.
No, everyone takes out all their aggression
on their horns.
Yeah, on driving and on their lane.
Horns, horns,
a lot of aggressive hitting
horns,
on going on
ladies
in Canada right now.
And really? Mooses.
What was this?
Seriously, we're in a radio studio. How loud is that beeping?
That's the other thing is, it's all the same horn, so it's the same car.
Yeah,
it's like someone's impatiently waiting for a date, but in a 1980s American movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and surely if they are beeping that many times, just get out of the car and go and knock. Maybe. Definitely going to be better.
You'd
off.
Also think that at a professional radio studio like this, they'd have invested in double glazing. Not here at FUBAR. Yeah. Single glazed.
That's because we're in the pre-record studio today.
Yeah,
the other one is closed off.
In the live studio, you're not going to hear no horns. You could have a car in the studio and the horn will not work. But in the pre-record studio, it's nothing but horns.
Right, John, we want you to put out about a banal tweet, and we've had some suggestions here via the internet from Lewis. We're going to choose which one we think is the best one. You're going to do it. So, from Lewis, I have never understood people who have sugar in tea. To me, it just tastes like tea with an aftertaste of sugar.
It's quite boring. That is a stinker.
No, what's even crazier is I guarantee that has been a conversation topic I've heard on a train. Just
oh, totally.
Ugh.
But it also, what's quite good about it, it does sort of sound like the beginning of a crap observation.
Okay, that tweet got one horn. We're going to go based on horns on which one we're moving.
That has gotten
one horn, ladies and gentlemen. We stand at one horn.
From Sandra, I've just realised I haven't tweeted today. Until now, of course.
Oh, that is shit.
That
made my ball sack squirm with douchiness. So annoying.
That is crap.
Right, Ryan, I've lost my spare key for my back door. Luckily, I have a spare key, which can be promoted to the spare key.
That's
actually quite funny.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. And here, let me break this down. This is the difference between an English and a North American here, which is I don't like the word luckily used in a written sentence.
Why?
Because it's nothing to do with luck. You have a spare key.
That's true.
You knew about that. You'd planned. There's no luck there. It's not like you're...
Obviously, yeah. I had a spare
Or just
spare.
But I.
Yeah. But I like...
Yeah. You've got to save characters on Twitter. I thought that was...
One problem is no honk of horn for that
exactly.
tweet.
Yeah, there we go. But I actually thought that was too good a tweet, if I'm honest.
I sort of agree that's not as shit as the other two.
The tea one, I think, is the best. It's from Steve. I've forgotten to get the chicken out of the freezer. I guess I won't be having Hunter's chicken for dinner tonight.
That one's the worst.
That's a funny type of specific chicken. What is Hunter's chicken?
I don't know about
it. It is chicken made by Hunter S. Thompson, which means it has a little hat and knowledge about drugs.
Oh, I was thinking it's more like a chicken provided by the ex-gladiator from the ITV 90s game show Gladiator. Hunter.
Which one was Hunter?
He was the one who went Hunter and had a long blonde hair.
Oh, good looking one. Went out with Ulrika Johnson for
a bit. He did for a bit.
Excuse me?
How weird is this as a coincidence? Hunter was at my first ever comedy gig.
Really?
Right? This is so weird. I was doing my first ever comedy gig and as I was walking into the pub to go upstairs to where the gig was, walked past Hunter from Gladiators and Jason Orange from Take That together. Yeah. Turns out they're friends. And they were sitting at the back of the room, and afterwards they both came up and said how funny they thought I was.
That's fantastic.
And since then I've always been trying to just chase that moment again.
Yeah, you've tasted that sweet, sweet nectar, and nothing has ever been as sweet. Clarification for me. Did you guys have a different program than American Gladiators?
Showing American Gladiators as well, and they called it American Gladiators.
Oh, so you guys had your own version just called Gladiators.
Yeah, we had the Wolfman.
What?
He was the best, he was the one.
Old.
He was old. He played the... he was one of the first, TV baddies in, I guess, a reality thing. Yeah. Before, Nasty Nick on Big Brother. But I remember when I was a kid, I'd be like, that guy is such an arsehole. But he must have made himself a few quid off that.
Yeah.
Acting. You would hope so. There is no second chapter in that autobiography. I was on Gladiators, and now I host The Big Breakfast.
Now I am a gym instructor.
Now I'm a gym instructor, and I still call myself Wolf. Yeah. But no one else does.
Yeah, who's going to be taking my induction? It might be Steve, or it might be Wolf. I'll go with the Wolf.
There's nothing worse than when you hear the Gladiator doing their thing and it's just their first and second name afterwards and have to put brackets Wolf and Gladiators. Yeah. Be like John Nichols, brackets Wolf from Gladiators takes his class.
By the way, if you guys, this is just on the same oeuvre as muscle bound people from the 80s and 90s who now live a sad life. There is a video online where Lou Ferrigno and Arnold Schwarzenegger meet.
Oh yeah.
And if you've seen Pumping Iron,
I've seen Pumping Iron,
where they are huge rivals, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is surrounded by security wearing this lovely suit, and Lou is literally at a table for with headshots to be autographed, and Arnold literally picks it up and goes, so this is what you're doing? Lou the Hulk Ferrigno. Well, it's turned out good for both of us, Lou. And he's just like, yeah, I guess so. He's like, yeah, and then walks away.
How long ago was this?
It was the governor, so three years ago.
Oh, really? It was 2-3 years
ago? Yeah, it was not long enough ago for it to be like, it's still like, oh God.
Yeah, wow. I'm reading his autobiography at the moment, and he is sociopathic.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's biography?
Yeah, didn't go to his brother's funeral because it would have interrupted his workout routine. True story.
Yeah. He put that in his autobiography?
Yeah. He put a lot of other weird shit in there. I recommend it, guys. It's only a fiver in W.H. Smith. It's down from 20.
Where's the horns for the
advert? Come on, buddy. Hey!
Horn us from Matt. Having sparkling water with orange cordial is a little treat without the sugar of Fanta.
I like that a lot.
I really like that.
I'm going to have a cheese and tomato sandwich for lunch. Quite an underrated sandwich, I think. Oh, that's boring.
It's bad, but I think the Fanta one's better.
No, the Fanta one, the Fanta and the tea one.
They're the best.
Okay,
it's because it's the specificity of avoiding something, and you're like, I better let people know.
Yeah.
I washed my hair without conditioning this morning. From Sam.
Oh, so it's just too boring.
It's actually too boring that it's not even.
I just am upset that it wouldn't upset anyone. Conditioner.
This is a good one. From Catherine. I put the green bin out this morning, but it was supposed to be the black bin today. That's quite good.
I hate Catherine, and I hate that tweet exists.
From Simon. I burnt my toast this morning. Still ate it, though.
That's all right.
Last one from Karen. I think I will treat myself to a Mars bar this lunchtime, or maybe a Twig. Hashtag decisions.
A Twig?
Twix.
I did say that.
Right. I would say the first one. The first one, the tea one, or the Fanta one. It's both.
I think it's tea or Fanta.
Ooh.
Chris, you get to decide.
You are going to decide. I like tea. First right,
okay. So you're going to have to tweet
that.
So
you're going to tweet this now, mate.
I don't. My phone. I left my phone out of the studio. I will do it.
Oh, look, you've been a good boy. Yeah, we'll get you to tweet it during the next song.
Yeah, I'll tweet it during the next break. And it will be so uncomfortable.
Okay. See you guys in a bit.
That was Pat Benatar, all fired up.
This is Fubar Radio. I'm Chris Martin.
I'm Carl Donnelly.
I'm John Hastings.
There
it's good.
Is.
Seamless, that
was
it?
Actually. It was good.
I've worked in radio before, no big deal.
Oh, really? What radio have you done?
I was a producer and writer for the Aaron Tasso Show.
Big fan of that one.
Oh my god, it was like your typical North American morning zoo. I played a character called Johnny the Shouter that would call in from traffic and shout. It was so douchey. I had to write jokes for these guys, and one of the notes was a little too smart on that one, and then handed back. And the problem was they were genuinely funny guys, but then the program director would come in and be like, this is our target audience, and then show you it's a photo of a woman with two small children driving in a van. It's like, we're trying to make these people laugh. And then I was like all full of P&V in 24 and be like, no, we're trying to make everybody laugh. And they're like, listen up, guy who's making the least amount of money in the room, you shut up.
Listen up, one that looks like you're 31, but isn't. What are you doing? So we've got someone who's ringing up now.
Mm.
Ringing up? I mean, they're on the line.
They're on the line.
You can say ringing up. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, man.
You wear leather shirts now.
Radio
cool.
Show. Do what we want. So we're playing Guess What I'm Eating. I think we've got Sarah on the line. Hello, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah might not be on.
Hello, Sarah.
Sarah got overexcited by the concept of playing Guess What I'm Eating.
Nothing is coming.
We'll try and get her back.
Let's try and get her back.
Yeah,
In the meantime, we'll quickly re-explain what Guess What I'm Eating is for listeners. Basically, John Hastings, comedian, a good man, is going to be eating a snack. Don't go in too soon, mate.
No, no, I'm not. I'm just preparing. I'm preparing.
And Sarah has to listen to him eat it. You have to eat it really close to the mic.
Of course.
You've got a really open mouth.
As we've covered, I've worked in radio before. I know how to eat.
A bad feature. I know how to commit to a bad bit of radio when I need to, guys.
I'll try and string it out as long as we can.
So you're going to do that.
Okay, I'm going to do it. Not yet, of course.
No, not yet.
We've got to work out the phones.
Sarah hung up.
Good, we've only got like 9 producers to that window who can't work out how to get this to work.
As covered earlier in the hour, I know those of you also tuned in late, at Fubar Radio, they have the most, we look like we're in radio production staff. They've also added the, like, he's like the cool guy producer. He's got a gold watch and he's wearing like a polo shirt.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I think we might have Sarah on the line.
Oh.
Hello, Sarah.
Think you have
no, I hear a lawnmower or possibly
hello,
an
Sarah. Yeah, we
hello.
Actually
is.
What happened there was I pointed at a thing and I was like, actually pushed that up and I got, nah, that's not the. I know what I'm doing more than the production stuff here.
That's true.
It's fine. Hello, Sarah, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
We are good.
What have you been up to today, Sarah?
I just woke up, basically.
Just woke up?
Yeah.
Midday. Hello.
What's going on with
or
you,
whatever
Sarah?
Whatever time, Carl, it is. Whatever time it is.
Oh, sorry, yeah,
well,
this is a pre-record.
Stop ruining the...
We're right. We've already told them it's a pre-record.
Yeah, you did.
Because you're off to flipping Dubai. Don't blame me for your diary mismanagement.
Okay.
But, yeah, at the minute we are recording, it is midday. And Sarah has just got out of bed, which suggests she either had a big weekend or
is
has
unemployed.
A terrible life. It's one of the two, Sarah. Which
Sarah, was it a naughty Sunday or was it an awfully fun weekend?
It was an awfully fun weekend.
Ooh, I like how she says that in her accent.
I like the fact you said naughty
Sunday.
Yeah,
you said a naughty Sunday.
Which I've got to say, I love a naughty Sunday.
Oh, who doesn't love a naughty Sunday?
It's filth, isn't it?
Mm.
Just on the Lord's Day.
Feels wrong.
Anyway, Sarah.
Sarah, you've got to listen up.
Do you know the rules, Sarah, to guess what I'm eating?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So John is going to eat a snack, and he's going to eat it very close to the mic with his mouth open. It will sound disgusting. But after the weekend you've had, you'll be used to that.
The way you said that was like there was going to be a series of rules. do you know the rules to this? Cool. There aren't any. It's just a bloody
Sarah, a couple of quick questions. Are you wearing your pads? We don't know why you need to wear pads for Guess What I'm Eating, but lawyers.
Pads? What are pads?
Like pads, like knee pads? Shin guards of some sort?
Right. I thought you were thinking of like...
Protective gear.
I thought you were thinking of lady pads.
I thought...
couple of questions, Sarah. Are you... Do you have your period right now that may help with your senses? Are you ovulating right now? Because as I understand it, ovulating women can sense better food than others.
Yeah.
We need to you are ovulating right now. Oh, after a naughty week. Weekend, goodness.
Yeah.
That's all right. As long as it's not a few days afterwards, then this bit of radio could cause pregnancy.
All right. Sarah, begin guessing what I'm eating right now.
Quiet in the studio.
Oh. Mm.
You got to get right up, open the mouth, let her know how it sounds. There it is.
Awful.
Right. Can you hear that, Sarah?
Does it taste good?
It does taste good. Thank you.
That's naughty. Turned into a sex chat.
Turned into
somebody in a noise. Normally you get to a dirty Monday.
Normally you've got to pay a lot of money for a phone call like this.
It sounds like crickets or something.
Sounds like what?
Crickets.
Crickets, as in the popular grass-based animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's not crickets. We'll give you a clue. It's actually much softer than John's making it sound.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how he's managed to do this.
You've got a leather mouth, mate. That's why it's making it sound.
It is a sweet.
I could really go for a fisherman's friend, is what I'm trying to say.
I bet you could.
Are you still chewing? I hear talking. No chewing.
Okay. Mmm.
What are you thinking? Like, what's in your head, Sarah? What genre of food?
Yeah.
I've got like two more bites left, Sarah. So let's make with some guessing here.
I haven't got a clue. Oh, I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that before.
You've never heard someone chew into a microphone.
Once you find out the answer, I'll be surprised if you've never heard any of that.
Okay, tell me.
Whoa, come on. Let's string. Look at that. Okay, tell me. Chuck in the towel like this.
A long section.
I know you're hungover from a massive weekend, but give us the time to. Think of what genre.
I'll tell you, just a last bite. We'll give you a clue before you put the last bite in. Take it back out of your mouth, John. It is sweet, not savoury. Mm. It is something you might buy. In a bakery. Sorry, that is the biggest clue. It's not the biggest clue. Bakeries have a wide selection.
But it's the softest thing you could get in a bakery.
So, okay, have another listen,
sir. The softest thing you can get in a bakery.
We're about to have a debate about that.
Yeah.
Last bite's going in, sir.
Is it a croissant?
No.
No, that is not the softest one.
It's got hard edges.
It's got a shell.
That's what a croissant's got. It's got hard edges.
No, it hasn't.
Chill out.
I reckon.
Sometimes, you know, when they're just out of the oven.
They've got that little crunch. You get a little crunch when you bite into one of them, don't you?
Like, imagine it, you know, this wasn't what it is, but a brioche is softer.
I don't know what soft surface.
What I was just eating? You're crazy.
I think a brioche is softer than what you were just saying.
But is a brioche in the pan? What is a brioche? Remind me.
It's a French milk-based bread.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hello, someone watches cookery shows.
Let's show the
Sarah,
two fat
we will
women.
Tell you what it is because you're not going to get it. Yep. It was.
No, I'm not getting it.
It was a jelly donut.
Or
a jam donut.
As we call it in this country.
It's a donut with some jam inside
it. As a Canadian where we eat a lot more donuts, it is a jelly donut. That's right. We invented it and we're taking credit for it, much like how you guys yell at me for saying aluminum as opposed to aluminium, even though we spell it differently and therefore the pronunciation makes sense. All right.
Yeah. So have you got any louder food?
We have got one other item of food.
Yeah.
Rare that we get requests on Guess What I'm Eating.
Also, producers of Fubar Radio, you guys are going to need to clean the pop shield of this microphone because it is encrusted in donut bits currently.
I think this one, this is a bit of confectionery, but I think the unwrapping will be part of the game.
Yes,
Sarah.
It definitely will. I'm unwrapping it currently, Sarah.
You're going to have to speed this up.
I'm trying, all right?
Come on.
I don't know if you've ever had to open something like this. It's like opening up a condom wrapper.
You're not good with wrappers, are you?
No, I don't need to be, Sarah. You probably aren't either after your naughty weekend. I just fell off the chair. I'm very attracted to you right now.
I was saying, this is a technique I'd not seen.
Let's have a look.
I normally go for biting a bit off and then...
You're crazy!
Now, let's have a look at what you're doing. Oh. Yeah, I don't do that.
Something's fallen out of it.
Something's fallen out of it, Sarah.
Oh, no.
And now you have to make a decision. No.
That doesn't sound so worried. It's meant to fall out.
Yeah, it's on purpose. Now you have to make a decision. Are you going to deal with this thing? Or are you going to enjoy this? Mmm.
Everything you eat sounds the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mouth, like, translates it.
I have a giant mouth. That's the problem. It's like, you know, it's like playing guitar in an echo chamber. It will always sound the same.
You've got a, like, a voice distortion, a fucking munch distortion voice box in your mouth.
Some clues there, Sarah. There is... Something falls out of it when you open it, and you can either do something with one bit or tuck into the other. That's a massive clue. That's bigger than the bakery clue.
Yeah, you know a lot about tucking into things, don't you?
Come on, Sarah.
A two-part confectionery snack.
No. A Kit Kat?
Oh!
No.
Nothing's ever fallen out of a Kit Kat.
The first syllable and sound you made with Kit Kat is you're on the right... You're on the right street.
That's just going to be a confusing clue.
That is, I'm really just, this is a tough game, isn't it?
This food item helps you build possibilities in your day.
What?
That's a very cryptic clue, really mate. Cryptic. Come on, mate. It's not The Guardian. Don't make it so difficult.
What? This isn't The Guardian?
The adverts have always been dubbed. And,
yeah.
They have.
And they look really shit.
Come on, Sarah. I believe in you.
Do you?
I really believe. You've got when you ask a question, Sarah, it's weirdly arousing. I don't know why.
There's something about the pause in your
voice.
You
always make it sound like it's like an innuendo. Do you?
Yeah, do you do.
Now, Sarah, has anyone eaten anything off of you recently during your naughty Sunday?
What?
John, you've lost the crowd there, mate. Come on, mate.
I got a lot of sugar coursing through my veins, guys. Sugar and Sudafed. This show is about to take a weird turn.
Let's tell Sarah what it was.
It's got three surprises in one. Do you know what it is?
No.
Oh, you don't even know what it is with that clue?
No.
It's a Kinder Egg, you idiot!
Kinder Egg? Are you a bit too old to be eating Kinder Egg?
Oh, wow!
Are you a bit too old to be ringing in a radio station playing Guess What I'm Eating?
Well, Sarah
though, all jokes aside, thank you for calling.
Smackdown from Chris Martin. Don't fuck with him in the game Guess What I'm Eating, or he will unleash.
Yeah, Sarah.
Can I have the toy, please?
You can. We don't actually open it. See if it's one of the shit ones where you have to make it. It's just a little painted frog.
Terrapin, mate.
Oh, it's an alright one, actually.
What is it? Is it one you have to make?
No.
It's something that's ready.
It's a motorbike.
It's a little motorbike. Do you still want that, Sarah?
You still want a little motorbike?
What's great is a Kinder Egg is basically what a Christmas cracker should be every day of the year.
Yeah.
It is.
Well.
Anyway, on that massive bombshell, thanks for calling in, Sarah.
Bye. Thank you, boys.
Call back.
Bye.
All the best.
Have a great naughty Monday.
There we go. What are we going to do? Are we going to have a song, or do we got time for another quick bit of advice?
Well, we should. We're going to go to a song. Before we go to a song, how many Twitter followers have you lost, John?
Let's find out.
Let's check the situation. You tweeted about tea
on the road,
and you had 2019 followers.
2019 followers, boys. And now it's loading up. It's that weird bird. Do now it's doing its circle thing. And it's doing that weird thing where none of the tweets.
And if you want to follow John Hastings on Twitter, obviously, what is your Twitter handle?
At the John Hastings.
At the John Hastings.
At the John Hastings. Well, you can also tweet us here at FUBAR Radio.
I am currently sitting at 2024.
What?
And the tweet has been favorited twice and retweeted twice.
No way! This is unbelievable.
Maniacs are following you.
And the tweet was, I've never understood people who have sugar in tea. To me, it just tastes like tea with an aftertaste of sugar.
That's
what? The tedious tweet you've ever seen. And you've managed to grow your fan base.
You're welcome, everybody.
That's your new niche market.
You are welcome.
They probably just relieved you're not tweeting about your farts for once. So there we go. Hey guys, in a bit. See you guys.
To everyone who follows me on Twitter that can hear my voice, don't worry, we will soon return to tweeting about my farts as soon as the radio show is over.
After this lovely song.
There we go.
That was On the Road again. Canned Heat.
Good song.
This is Chris Martin.
This is Carl Donnelly.
This is John Hastings.
And this is
FUBAR Radio. Giving radio with a finger.
FUBAR Radio. I can do a good voice.
Oh my god. Wait, is that the tree from Lord of the Rings? Is that who does that voice?
I don't know who that is. It's a guy who does all the announcements on everything. I reckon I could do it. FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my god, yeah, that's fantastic.
You have an old, posh Englishman's voice. You must make shitloads doing voiceovers, that guy.
Well, because there's that other guy who voices the intro for every comedy show. Which is that, like, and now welcome, Michael McIntyre. Like, I don't know.
It's a good gig.
We are here to help you guys on FUBAR Radio. This is our show where we give out some advice.
It's not just fun and games, guys. It's not just fun and games. It's not just guessing what people are eating.
Yeah, it's not just eating donuts and talking about naughty Sundays. You know what I mean?
This is sometimes we get actual real life questions.
Big issues, guys.
Yeah, we're here to help you.
Carl, do you want a cheeky bed, Carl, while you do this one?
Yeah, go on.
Let's give you a nice little bed here.
Get some noise behind me there, Chris.
I like how Carl's head is tilted back a little bit, like he's about to record a love song in the 70s.
What is this bed you're playing here?
It's the Vitamin String Quartet.
Oh,
are
sounds
we
really,
way?
Yeah. All right. Like, let's
are you not a fan? I've got another one.
Yeah, do another one.
I feel like we're about to give advice in a Leonard Cohen music video.
What are you doing? You've got two playing. All right, this is a good one.
It's a bit high tempo.
It's a bit high tempo, but let's roll with it.
Yeah.
This is from Tom in Manchester, guys. He says, "Hi, Carl and Chris." He didn't know you were coming in, John. Sorry.
What the fuck, Tom?
I need your advice. I've been seeing this girl for a while, and I'm going out of her again this evening. She's been suggesting over the last couple of days that she should come back to mine for dessert, if you know what I mean. As a male, I should be really excited about this, but however, I'm really embarrassed by my bedroom. It is a box room with a single bed, which I agreed to as I pay less rent than my flatmates. Ooh. But now I've got a girl coming back. I'm worrying this little boy's bedroom will put her off. What do I do? Thanks, Tom in Manchester. Well, Tom, I think you've got a... just spruce up the room a bit. You know, I'm assuming he's a student, because I've never known a grown-up who's got a proper job to have a single bed.
No. Maybe whack a mirror in there.
At the end of the bed. Yeah. You look like, wow, your bed's so long.
Yeah. Well, no, to the side.
That is a double bed. It's lengthwise.
It's a double and only stay on one side of it. The other side is not as comfortable.
I think it's more about the room. You can say to him, look... I'm just living here temporarily, but you know, and it was just a box room, but I'm moving on. But you know, if it looks like a nice room, you can sort of get away with it, and it also, you know, means you got to cuddle up a little bit closer.
Yeah, which is nice in theory. It's nice in theory, and when it comes to going to sleep, it's a bloody mind.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about a human being's head being on your arm for 8 hours.
Yeah, I was about to say, friend, you're going to need to spring on the fact that you have a single bed, and if this lady is a woman of logic and brilliance, she will go, "I'll come over for dessert, but then I will leave, and so we can both sleep comfortably." Because have you ever shared a single bed, though?
Yeah. I have at university.
It is the worst sleep.
Yeah.
It is sleep drained of all its nutrition and replaced by elbows.
I suppose. But then, hang on. This is going to be the first time they...
Why doesn't he go back to her place?
Yeah.
Excellent point, Chris Mark.
Yeah, what's she hiding?
And also, if he doesn't like it, he can run away in the middle of the night.
Correct.
In the dead of the night.
You have done before.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I recall a time Chris ran out of a house in the middle of the night.
Who hasn't done that at least one time? I one time faked having to get on a train and then left a hotel room.
Oh. Yeah, you told me that.
4 o'clock in the morning, and I said, I have to catch a train.
I once made
someone leave my house because I said I was really hungry. I'm really hungry. I need to make some food, so you've got to go. I'm really hungry. And then they left.
I've always been really respectful and just stayed till the morning, guys.
Yeah.
I was in the morning.
Yeah, but you are a little bit older than us, so you've had a little bit more time to be mature. Yep. While Chris and I still are going through our roaring 20s.
I think Chris is now a little shacked up and in love.
Yeah. I'm in love.
Yeah, you and your love and your happiness and your healthy connections.
This is the first time. Even if they go back to his single bed, first time they're going to be... you know, having dessert, then you know, they ain't gonna be sleeping, is it? Thing when you like, you know, he's just gonna be sort of awake all night, hoping that there's more of it.
Yeah.
You think like, I think
unless
it's dessert.
You that being said, unless it's
getting
just,
indigestion. Yeah,
hopefully the chef's got a little bit more out back.
like he's got some cake by the bins.
Why out back?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But it's not dirty than it was.
He's got some
more. You've obviously cake. Never had dessert in Manchester, Chris. Yeah. They always keep a little something by
just
the bins.
By the skip. Yeah.
I've been to a few patisseries.
I was done by a couple of chocolate tiers on my way to the football museum. You know what I'm saying?
I think he should just make the room nice. You know, go to IKEA, spend £30 on prints and just you know, a nice duvet cover.
But a bunch of like flowers in a vase.
Yeah, even get them fake ones that are just like twigs and shit.
Get some little fairy lights.
Oh yeah, man.
Who doesn't like fairy lights?
Everyone loves fairy lights. So no matter how manly a man you think you are, if somebody switches on fairy lights, you're like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, mate. It's not even Christmas, but I feel like a kid again. This is amazing.
Let me also stress this. You'll be shocked how much girls do not notice rooms. And he may be just fine no matter what. I'm going to take a slightly different opinion.
It depends how much she likes dessert.
Well, if they've been going out a couple of times, they obviously have a connection. So I think he can get away with just the box room.
And also, mate, if she's already sort of suggested it a couple of times and he's put it off.
Yeah.
You know, you've only got so many shots, mate.
Yeah, she wants to nibble on your creme brulee, my friend. She wants to break through that weird glass-like shell of sugar and
eat
your gooey insides.
Dessert. Oh. Why is dessert
that analogy really just got filth at the end?
Yeah, I know.
You just said, you might as well have said, and then just have fucking loads of sex.
Yeah, just spunk.
Why is dessert always the sex one? Like, why is that? Do you know what I mean? Like, why is it not?
Savory is not.
Yeah, you know,
nobody wants spaghetti bolognese on their dick.
Where are you going for meals that spaghetti bolognese is your go-to main course?
I'm just saying.
So your mum makes you.
You know, what else is it? Like, savoury is always like, you know, I'm a vegan, but most people are meat eaters, so your savoury is meat. You're going to put meat on your meat.
Yeah. That's double meat.
And it's also
Parma ham around it.
Dessert sounds like you can kind of be sexy. Like, come back to my house, we'll have some coffee. Like, it's like, come back to my house, we'll make jacket potatoes. Just sounds like, what are we going to do?
I don't drink coffee, though, so what would I, you know? Go back to yours for a peppermint tea. It doesn't sound as...
That's why you got whack dessert on top.
It's peppermint tea and dessert.
Dessert and coffee. What's happened? Is that a threesome?
It's going to get crazy.
It's
going to
be a very, very warm threesome.
What about sorbet? What's the vibe on that? Because that's sometimes dessert, sometimes a starter.
It's a palate cleanser.
It's a palate cleanser. So that's what you do is after foreplay. You have a bit of sorbet and then you get back down into the main course.
Yeah. I was going to say sorbet is sex that you have going with your palate cleanser sort of thing. It's the sex you have with the girl in between the relationships.
Yeah, the rebound.
That's the nicer version of rebound. That's a couple of months. You know it's not going to last forever, but you're still happy that she was in your life.
Yeah.
I like that.
She's my sorbet.
And your relationship. But ultimately, you're both quite cold to each other.
Come on.
Multi-layered.
You get chills in your teeth at some point.
Yeah.
Why?
You get brain freezing. You get... that's good, actually.
And then you just remember how much nicer just dessert is.
You just want some apple pie that you know how to make as opposed to this complicated sorbet who keeps borrowing money and never giving it back and they have a pill addiction.
Spoon. I don't know what that meant. I said slipping off your spoon.
Like when you're trying to spoon her, she's just so covered gum. She's
so slippery.
Oh, man.
She's covered in baby oil.
Sorry, Tom, this has got much more dirty than we meant. But
what was the question again? I just got excited by analogies.
Well, he's worried about his
bedroom. It's about a single bed. How have we got into this?
If he thinks he really likes her, and this is going to be more than just a one-night dessert session, then just be honest, man. Take her back. That's your room. You know? Just take her back, see what happens, and whatever. If you genuinely think this is going to be a one-night thing, then just pay one of his flatmates to use their room.
That's a
really?
Good point. Yeah, but then your mate has to then basically okay the fact that you're going to put your
sheets
sexy
on
juice on.
Get
on
an undersheet. Just head down B&Q.
Right. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be comfortable. I'd always be thinking, like, this isn't my territory if there's anything sort of happens or breaks in the proceedings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Where are the condoms?
Excellent point. Where are the condoms? What if, like, things get a little frisky and a lamp is knocked over?
All jokes aside, sex safe, guys. Make sure you rub her up before.
Please, people of the UK, the amount of you that in pubs go like, didn't use one last night, like you should. Yeah. You should. The amount of people I know in this country that go, I have to go up to Hull to visit my daughter. Why? Because condoms aren't comfortable. Yeah, is shocking.
Yeah, I know.
So now they're getting thinner and thinner these days, aren't they?
Yeah, a Canadian man just invented the world's thinnest condom.
What's the point?
You're welcome.
It's like tracing paper on your knob. It's stupid.
Just, you know, guys, just but stay safe.
Having said all that, now I have a long-lasting relationship. Not having to put a condom on is an absolute weight off my mind. You know when you send it, you know,
but you gotta absolutely trust her not to try and trap you with some sort of baby.
But you know when you put it on, now like trap you with a baby, that means not like literally has like some crazy baby in a room. Like,
yeah, she just leaves you in a room with this crazy baby. This is Bugsy Malone the baby. Ah, you're not gonna get it here, see?
Someone told me when you put the you're supposed to put it on the correct way, obviously, but it's very difficult, I find, in the throes to know which way round is correct.
Yeah.
Thank you!
Almost every single time I will put it on the wrong way for a set, then I will just flip around. And my mate said to me, apparently that makes it like null and void, the condom.
No!
That's not true.
I think that's scare tactics, isn't it?
Unless you've got a lot of... Oh, God, pre-jizz.
Yeah.
You know, like, then you put it, you basically loaded the tip of the gun. Just put a bullet on the end of the gun and then just gonna chuck it at the target.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been a dirty section, isn't it?
The only thing I'm saying, we're going to another room. The problem with that is you're like jinxing the sex. So if you go and like, if you buy an undersheet and you put
great point.
You've like put so, and if she just goes, I'm actually just going to go home now. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake, I've paid 10 quid to sleep in my mate's bed. Yeah. I'm going to have so many.
And he'll know that you didn't have sex. You know what I mean? Like, he'll know. And if he's like one of your friends, he'll probably make fun of you, and then you'll put on your cool jacket and he'll keep making fun of you. I don't know how long people listen to this show, so these callbacks may not be at all useful.
No, they start at the beginning, they go all the way to the end.
It's about radio. Everyone sticks with us right to the end.
Goddamn right. No one turns it off. Anyway, my advice would be, just be proud of your room and mention the fact it's cheaper rent, so that shows that you're business-minded and that you know how to spend your money.
Yeah, and so you can save and spend more money on her.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, baby.
On that bombshell of advice, let's have a lovely song by The Doors. That was The Doors, Love Me Two Times. This is Fubar Radio. Chris Martin.
Carl Donnelly.
John Hastings.
The holy trinity of radio right now. guys, thanks for getting in all your emails about advice. If you don't know what's happening, it's the advice show. Send in your emails to thestudio@fubarradio.com. Tweet us at Fubar Radio. Click on the envelope on the app.
On the app.
Piece of piss, guys. Google it.
We've still got some promotional codes.
Yeah, if you're on the website and you don't have the app,
If you're still on a free trial, basically, you can get a year's free subscription.
We've got very cryptic passwords.
Why don't you do yours first? Let's see if I can work mine out.
Chris M.
So if you go in.
Capital letters, all capitals.
All capitals, Chris M.
John, what do you reckon Carl's is?
Carl M. Carl D. It's Carl D.
It's Carl D. So if you go on that, if you listen on your temporary one, upgrade it, innit? By using them codes.
Get a cheeky
upgrade. Not everyone. There is a limited amount, so get in early or you might miss out and have to pay the grand sum of $2.99 a month for this pleasure.
It's still cheap. I'd say for every gag that's funny, if that's worth 50p, they've had about a quid's worth during this show.
And you'll hear
a quid's worth during the last section. That sorbet thing. That was worth its weight in gold.
We can say what we like when we like.
Yeah.
Play some music with swearing in. This is literally a free for all.
We can just say shit now for no reason.
I can say tits. John, you can say something.
Boogers.
He's so polite. Tits and boogers.
It's because I swear so much in my normal life. I'm trying to like be creative. And also in the UK occasionally, someone will be like, oh, go ahead and swear. And then you're like, ah, you cunt face. And they're like, whoa, whoa.
No.
Not that kind of swearing. And you're just like, oh, you can't.
Yeah, you can't open a door for somebody and then have a go when they run through.
Exactly.
That's what I always say.
That's what we do.
So as this is sort of an advice show, and we've got loads of emails, we'll try and get through as many, but we also like to help out our guests of any of their life issues, John.
And so luckily, usually I'm a kid together and I have everything sorted out. That's a lie, of course. All right, here's the situation. So I got a girl who I met skiing in the Alps because my life is excellent.
I bet you have.
Where's she from?
London originally, but she lives in northern Scotland.
Oh.
Right?
How northern?
Aberdeen.
Wow, that is
a lot of oil money up there.
There's a lot of oil money.
Good burgers.
Yeah, this is an absolute true thing, so I have to be very cryptic because there's like the job she has. If someone in Aberdeen is listening,
yeah, we won't say any.
Can literally be like, oh, it's her.
Yeah,
met her skiing.
She the mayor of Aberdeen.
She is the mayor of Aberdeen. She is the queen of that weird castle that's actually the university.
Yeah,
if you've been to Aberdeen,
I've been to Aberdeen a number of times. Your family in the region.
Is that very, true? Very nice place, very wealthy, and
very
just
grey,
building. Nice grey buildings, though.
But not, I don't know, I found it a little bit too grey. But it has got a very comically shit theme park.
Yes,
like
it does.
Amusement park, where
has
it's got
it?
Right, a really crap roller coaster and stuff.
A really drunk guy told me about that. And I also saw two drag queens beat the shit out of each other on the street corner.
Wow.
Was one of them called Strawberry? What was that? No, was it Mango Chutney?
Mango Chutney.
I went to a place in London called Cellar Door where they had a drag queen who
named Mango
Chutney. I just thought it was just a good name. It's a funny drag queen type name.
Mm.
And he put on the kind of, darling. You've got a thing where they can just slag off what women are wearing and get away with it. It's almost like you're just a bloke in a wig, still acting like a prick.
Just a rude man.
Yeah, you're just a rude man acting like, it's almost like you're acting like a woman so you can be mean to women.
So it's like blackface only with glitter.
Yes. Yeah, it is like that.
Glittery blackface, which is, by the way, the name of my new band.
Okay. So anyway, you've met a lady from Aberdeen.
Met a lady from Aberdeen.
How old?
25-ish.
That's good. That's fine.
Nice. Right in the strike zone. Yeah. Not too young.
Right in the strike zone. So Canadian.
Good. Right? It is very Canadian. Thank
right
you.
In the strike zone.
Well, here's the thing is that at a certain point, I always get very nervous. Like, if, let's say a girl is like 36, 37. I have no problem with it. But at the same time, I'm not looking for anything. And they are usually looking for something more. And I feel like I'm leading them on.
Depends. You might be their sorbet mate. They might have just come out of a long
term. Yeah, exactly. Always looking forward to be
all
there.
All they want is a bit of cleansing. Yeah.
Some deep cleaning.
The face I made after that was disgusting.
It's like you just ate some shit sorbet. It's like someone has frozen a shit and passed it off as some sorbet.
You literally looked like a porn producer. Just looking for some deep cleansing. And then all you just needed to do was bury your face in a pile of cocaine. And it would have completed the image. But yeah, so she's coming back to London to visit for like 10 days. And so we met skiing. I was doing gigs, and then she was visiting a friend in the same sort of weird compound thing that you stay in. A lot of flirting going on, but no opportunity for sweet, sweet dessert. We only had hors d'oeuvres, no dessert, if you know what I'm saying.
That's fine. Sometimes you just want a canapé, mate.
What is a canapé before we go on?
I think it's like an hors d'oeuvre. It's a little thing that you eat at a party because they didn't want to put out a buffet.
Good. All right, so we're on the same page.
I think it's a basic canapé is normally just given to you by a bloke in like a bow tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be
like a lady.
An amuse bouche is what you get at an overly expensive restaurant.
Yeah.
And a canapé is something you get at an overly expensive party.
I think so.
And that's also an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all under the hors d'oeuvre family. In that, like, angel dust and cocaine are both drugs, but they're for different purposes.
They're basically like the mini bar equivalent of food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where the bar comes to you.
But this is all both sides.
Anyway, well, yeah.
All right, so anyway, so now she's coming to visit for, like, she gave me, like, a 10-day span, and was just like, oh, let's hang out. Now, she sought me out on Facebook, which is quickly becoming the machine of love in this world. It was like... Because, you don't need the phone number anymore.
That's amazing.
The name, and you do the old, like, hey, it was nice to meet you. Boom, then you're in. So
it looks like you've literally typed their name in and just sort of say, oh, there they are. Message when you've literally tried to troll the internet.
Yeah. If you find me on the internet, you're a grade A stalker.
Really?
Because so many Chris Martins.
Oh, my God, there's so many Chris Martins. Yeah. How many?
Actually, you just put in Chris Martin, comedian, and there's me, or there's an American guy who's 60 with a beard who does look like a deviant, but I don't look like him, so.
She found you on Facebook.
Found me on Facebook.
Was like, message, ad friend.
No ad friend, that was the interesting thing. Here's why I'm also a little gun shy, is last year, I had a similar situation where I met a girl at a show, she found me on Facebook, turned out she was married.
Wow.
And
avoid like the plague.
Yeah, and also insane. And so I'm just very gun-shy about this whole thing because I'm like, ooh, I don't like the not add friend Facebook.
Why don't you go for add friend? Just try and...
Straight up did, and it was totally fine. I also get into my head a lot about these things. So she's coming to visit for those 10 days.
And you've looked, there's no hint of boyfriend.
I'm not going to confirm or deny the level of Facebook stalking I went through, but let's just say... Forensic.
Let's just say Falaraki 2004 looked like a great holiday.
Yeah, the holiday photo album check is like that's, you feel like a monster.
Oh,
there's a problem with the Facebook is you just like dull your sense. You look at so many photos of the person, you can't even remember whether you think they're attractive or not because you go that one she's great, and then maybe it's just too. That's why it's best I think to not.
Well, this is it because normally if you meet somebody, once you meet somebody when they're dressed up on a night out, you see them at that bit. If you meet again for a date, you see them that bit. If you troll their Facebook, you see them throughout all the things you're not meant to see yet.
You
know what I mean? There's a photo.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
There's a photo of me from university that a friend found because like Facebook got really good at censoring like penises and stuff. Yeah. This is in the early stages. There's a photo of me looking about 8 years old, but when I was I think 20 at university, just standing there with a couple of mates and my knob out.
Oh, wow.
And it's just on Facebook still.
Can you not delete that?
I think Facebook have it forever.
Ask for it back. Why was cock, mate?
Why was your knob out?
I was at university. Stupid, I was drunk. I'm just being an idiot. I'm ashamed.
Only in the UK is that a viable excuse of being in university.
I was at a place of learning, so obviously I just had to get my dick out. It was part of my dick studies, anyway.
And did you, before you added friend, do a quick audit of your Facebook photos?
Of course.
Yeah, of course you did.
You got to make sure, how's it all going?
You purge. You've got to have the front 10. It's like, you should open strong with 10, have a good closing 10
minutes.
You got to
check your privacy
put
settings.
Put the weird shit in the middle.
There's also a friend of mine who is a girl. She also goes through and she sporadically adds photos of her with different boyfriends. So if someone is Facebook stalking her, they don't know if she's single or not.
Good shout.
What is just It's so diabolical, but at the same time, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you got to just cover the bases.
Yeah, you don't know your motives. Anyway, so
she's coming down for 10 days.
Coming down for 10 days, and she suggested drinks. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's all very exciting. But I don't know how forward I should be in the whole drinks proceedings situation.
Where's she staying for 10 days?
That's the other thing I don't know.
Well, I think she's got family down
here. I think she has family here. It's probably going to be her place, which means I'm facing a home bed situation. And I, similar to Tom, have a very small room.
Yeah.
But I'm cool with it. It's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, so my...
Yours is quite big. Maybe it's, you know, like normal size.
It is a normal size room. I'm just quite tall.
I think your best option, first off, is she's got 10 days. You want to get in early doors. Because
interesting point. I was going to go late days.
What if you're loving it and you get off of day off. 8, then you're like, oh, you're ticking time.
It's day 3 and you go out and it just totally kicks off and it's great. You will definitely then, you know, you're,
then you have 7 days of sweet good times.
Give her a day to just bed in, get comfortable. Day 2, catch up with some friends. Day 3,
where is this
tiger pounce?
Okay, I have a couple of analogy questions. What does bed in mean?
Just like unpack a bag, you know, just drop a text to some people, so I mean, just have a nice rest from it. It's a long journey.
To see family.
It's a long journey.
Good. All right.
So day 1, let her do family and admin.
Yeah. Mm. Day two, friends catch up.
Friends, proper like old friends catch up. You don't want to try and override her friends.
Day 3, introduce her to your junk.
That is not what I was meaning.
So said so sweetly. Yeah. Just like show up at the pub, just take it out and be like,
say I'm a student, and that's what I do.
Like, when does she arrive into London? What sort of time frame?
March. I'm not going to.
No, don't say the exact. But so all you got to do, I'd say, is if you.
I was about to say the exact date.
Mate, suggest her a thing, and this is what you go. Oh, do you want to be really nice and go to this place that I said I met the mango chutney at?
Yeah.
Cool place in Aldwych. I think it's 1 the Strand. It's an old toilet. It's really small. It's probably the size of these two rooms together, and they have like a drag queen at the end, and it's free to get in, and it's really good cocktails. You go, you got to come to this place. It's awesome. Converted toilet, bang.
Because that was going to be my question: is what is a cool thing to do in London? Because I don't know. I said, because the problem with I lived here almost 2 years, which is making me feel very old. But at the same time, you only know like the 4 areas you go to.
Yeah.
And what I'm into is what like no pretty girl wants to go hang out at in like Camden Town next to where one of the Sex Pistols threw up.
But no, Camden's got some natural.
Yeah, Camden's cool place to go.
Down in Camden Lock, you can.
Yeah, Lock Tavern in Camden, good
nice pub.
Nice pub.
The got Hawley board Arms. Games. Hawley Arms is a nice pub.
So you got Camden as an option, and you can do a little wander. The non-threatening daytime Camden market in the day.
Oh. I do love a day
and
situation.
Start late day, and then give the option to develop into evening.
Yeah, definitely.
We're having so much fun.
And the late
and
afternoon.
And then boom, introduce it to your junk.
Camden wander around day date. Segue into the evening drinks by the Camden Canal.
Yeah. There's also a blues bar in Camden.
There is, of course.
Another good thing, like, you can sound quite trendy in Camden, like, if you go into some of the pubs. Like, if you go to the Hawley Arms, the amount of famous people that have drunk there over the years, you can sort of just say, did you know this is where so-and-so is? And you suddenly just sound like you know some shit and you hang out there all the time and you're one of the cool dudes.
That's all I ever wanted.
Yeah, so that's what you gotta do. Just Camden's actually a good place for it.
Perhaps wearing a jean slightly too tight for my leg, but it's cool, I know how to pull it off.
If you want to sound like a real sort of like man of the, you know, like you care about the world, go to Inspiral Cafe on the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an all ethically sourced, like, vegan cafe.
I know exactly where that is.
Just go in there and just go, I'd just like to come in and again, just, you know, just buy something at Scotch.
Just save the planet,
just,
man.
Yeah, just like ethical. Mm. I think, honestly, there's loads of things you can do in Camden to make you seem like a much better man than you are.
Brilliant. Now, let me actually, this is a follow-up general question, because I have not dated in London as long as you guys. How do you get to the segue? Because there's a lot of situations where you have to now, because she lives in South London, you live in North London, da-da-da. You now have to be, I always felt you have to be straight up at the end of, like, what is happening right now? Are we going to
We're getting the tube back together or well, that's where you go. That's almost a midweek date's good. Stuff gets closed down about 11, 12. You go, get a cab back to mine and have a few more drinks.
Yeah. Ah, yes, of course.
As long as you just, it's good to use that sort of, look, it is Wednesday, you know, but you're visiting, so you ain't got work in the morning. I'm a comedian, so I ain't got work for like 5 days. So, you know, if you want to carry on drinking, make sure you've stocked up on something. Make sure you've got a bottle of white, bottle of red, a spirit and some mixers. Yeah, everything mixed up so it doesn't like you've compiled it.
This is brilliant. Cupboards. And because if I leave that with my flatmates, I love them, but they will definitely sample any of the wares, so it'll just look like, oh,
and just say that I've got a few bits of mine. If you want to come back for a drink, that is totally fine. I understand if you don't, but I'm enjoying myself. So why don't we just carry on a bit?
Do I have to make that weird noise?
The club sing around on the Shooting Stars.
But yeah, I think, and then bang, you are in.
We'll get you back on here post.
I'm going to call in mid.
Yeah, it's going really well, guys. I've introduced her to my
fellas. Guess what? There's things occurring.
Right, we'll speak to you guys in a little bit. John's normally you leave after the middle hour, but you want to hang around, and we want you to hang around. You're having fun. We'll check your Twitter thing in the break and see how many tweets or followers you've lost.
FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR Radio. This is Chris Martin.
It's Carl Donnelly.
John Hastings.
I've adopted a weird pose.
Chris, you need to get back on your chair.
I know, I just
while
like...
you do that, I'll tell people that last song. Yeah, you have like a POW, Secret Garden, because we were taking it back to the 80s.
Yeah, and Chris was doing a naughty boy pose.
I was.
Or
posing for a
pose.
Calendar.
Yeah. Naughty boy.
Chris Martin, I'm going to Dubai to be naughty.
I can't be naughty in Dubai, mate. It's illegal.
You can, of course you can.
I thought you can't even look at pornography on the internet over there.
No, you can't find that on the internet, but you can have it off with people. But no, you're not meant to have it off.
I can't, I'm in a loving relationship. Oh,
right. Yeah, but the other comedians you're with.
Together, if you went there together on holiday, you could, in a hotel room, have it off.
Apparently, you can't live with a lady unless you're married to them in Dubai.
You can't live with them, but if you're visiting, there are leeways they make.
Oh, so hotels are like prison rules, aren't they?
But if you're married, totally. Like,
you can drink.
Gypsy rules in hotels, No. Anything goes.
You are bringing a switchblade to Dubai, correct?
That might have sounded like I was saying something derogatory about gypsies, but gypsy rules is a real thing. I once
going Dutch? It's like a
they've got loads. The boxer Tyson Fury always chats out in interviews when he's talking about doing something bad. He goes gypsy rules. But then, like, I was once playing darts in a pub in Wimbledon with my friend Rich, and. Basically, a big man approached us with honestly the biggest hands I've ever seen on a human. It was like they were sort of like novelty hands.
like foam gladiator.
And
hands.
He just came up and he was like, oh, do you mind if I join you, lads? I was like, yeah, of course. And he started chatting to him. He was like crazy, probably like late 30s. Told us a story about how he once got beaten up by 10 blokes and they like got him on the floor, kicked his head in, and he just jumped up at one point and shouted, happy birthday.
That's such a hard nuttiest thing to do.
But he was playing darts and he got down to a finish and he needed like double 13 or whatever he needed. And he busted, right, with his first dart, bust.
Ooh.
But then, with his final two darts, he went down to try and hit like the sort of hole in the eight.
Mm.
And we were like, what are you doing? He goes, hole in the eight. I was like, what's that mean? He goes, gypsy rules. And apparently, in gypsy rules, if you're playing darts and you bust and you've got darts left, if you hit the little hole in the eight, you still win the game.
Wow.
So we thought it was a lie, but we played it with him. Told my friend Tommy, who was up in like Yorkshire somewhere, this was about 2 years later, playing darts in a pub with a bloke, and he was playing, he busted on his first dart, threw for the hole in the eight, and the guy went, gypsy rules!
Oh, wow.
It's a real thing. Wow. Why are we talking about gypsy rules? Oh, Dubai. So yeah, if you could go with your girlfriend to Dubai and in a hotel room, you're fine.
And remember, if you can't have it off with her, then you just got to put a dart in the eight, and then you're still good.
Still win. But I don't know if you could walk
just on
down
the door, just a different door in the hallway. Just put a knob in the eight on like number 48.
But I don't know if you could like kiss in public or hold hands.
Apparently, you can't. Because
you're not married.
You can't kiss. You can't kiss.
Because I once witnessed the comedian Jason John Whitehead. He did some gigs in Dubai, and we were chatting to some people from the gig after the show. Ladies, and Jason went for a kiss with one of them, and a bouncer appeared like a fucking ninja and put his hand between their lips. like a sort of a bit of paper down the middle, like that.
Are you serious?
Went not
wow,
here, like that.
And kiss bouncer.
Yeah.
Why? This is a really good. It's in the Arab Emirates, correct? Dubai, or is it a separate?
UAE. Yeah.
It's in the UAE. Okay, so and it's just this giant real estate glass city in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
That's got all this money,
yeah.
But at the same time has some very strange social laws.
Well, it's still Muslim, it lives under Muslim law, but they make, because there's so much money and so much business there,
they make concessions.
Huge concessions. Like, you know, I saw people battered in clubs, but the moment you get out, you get a taxi, you get to your hotel.
And you do not.
Don't walk down the street pissed, you know, because otherwise you'll get busted. Don't. A couple got caught having sex on a beach, and I'm talking about actual sex, not the cocktail. And they got like 6 months in prison. And
what?
Stuff. Yeah, you can't just. You got to really watch yourself. I almost got in a fight outside a club, and luckily.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not very cold on anything to do.
A guy called me the C word, which we can say on here, but we've already had one today.
He just called me
for no reason when I was walking out of a club and I'd been drinking all night and I just got really up.
Had you been at the gig earlier?
No,
it was just a chance to heckle you?
Literally just, I think I might have said something like jokey to him, like for totally friendly, and he just took it the wrong way and went, oh, shut up, you cunt. And I just, for some reason, got very angry.
Was he a British person or was he?
He was a British man. No, and
of course he was. Brits abroad, mate.
So I called gypsy rules and went for it. And luckily, just as it was kicking off, a big Scottish man who I'd been talking to,
of course,
was very nice, grabbed me, threw me in a taxi and just told him to get me out of there. And I literally, I was
go.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. It's got me out of there before I would have got busted. I would have got done. I would have got actual prison time.
And it's, yeah, I just feel like that's you're entering the part of the world there where you don't want to be in those jails.
No,
like that.
Oh my God, no.
Foreign jails. Petrify me. Like just every time I go to like Asia and I've got a bag, a suitcase, I'm just scared someone's like put loads of drugs in it. And
I'm terrified about doing that going into the EU. Like I check every pocket if like. I have flatmates that smoke weed in the house, and I will make sure that the bag is like up in my room with the window open and the door closed. So it's like there is no way, just because I'm just paranoid enough.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like being on, because I'm here on a visa, right? So it's like, it's not like I'm going to be able to like, you know, oh, a British citizen is like, you're a Canadian on a migrant worker visa. We're going to throw 8 books at you. Yeah. Like, it's just a disaster.
But
like,
that's why people cellophane up their bags and stuff to make sure that, you know, that's proper paranoia. I've never done that, but I remember once I came out from Malaysia, like 14, you get told you get like shots if there's a drug on you. And I just kept going off in the BP machine. And, you know, I was like a 14-year-old kid going to sleep. But they just no sense of humour. They just keep...
No.
Eventually, they just sort of like believe me. And I was like, oh. We're talking about those... what's that programme where they check the people going into Australia? Border control. I love that show. They always stop people and it's like... The guy said, yeah, it seemed a little bit weird. This bloke here says he's here. He's a lawyer and he's here for a 3-day conference, but there's no record of the conference. And they go, scan his bag, scan everything. There's nothing in there. And they go, well, just to make sure, we'll do a full body scan to make sure. And then it cuts to like this thing and goes, after the body scan, it revealed he had 300 grams of heroin in like rubber tubes in his belly and he's been put in prison.
We've talked about how it's always funny. For some reason, into Australia, there's always Chinese people trying to just smuggle weird food.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always weird food, mate. It is
like just a fish,
mate. There was one where this woman brought back a bag of ribs, and it was just like you. She was like, you know, you can just buy that from like the Chinese supermarkets. It's like, what are you? Where are you going?
No, I like to bring my own ribs.
It's already marinated as well.
Going between Canada and the US, they have the same show, Border Patrol.
Yeah,
and it is awesome because it's 3/4 of it are Americans who have come up to Canada, bought all the cheap medicine and are trying to get it back. And the trick is that you can only take a certain amount. So they're literally like, okay, you were here in Canada for 45 minutes. What did you do in there? I was like, oh, I just bought a coffee, hung out, looked at a tree, and they're like, okay. And it's literally just countdown to when they've not well hidden like 10,000 pills of Sudafed somewhere. Like, it's just always like, oh, it's in the spare tire or it's in the baby's hand. Like, it's just...
My favorite is watching someone when they know they're smuggling shit and the person's like, look at... I just go, all right, you've got me.
Yeah.
I've got... But they always still... It's almost like they think that after like taking like one jumper out of a bag, they're going to go, that's enough for that checking.
That's fine.
They always just go...
It was under the jumper.
Old people is the best one. In the British one, there's so many old people coming up from Spain. They're like retired people who clearly have run out of money or whatever, and they get used as drug mules. But it's like grannies and granddads, and they're like, anything in the bag? And they're like, nah. And they're just like the hugest bag of weed.
And it's also like, if I'm going to be suspicious of anyone, it's going to be a British old person. Like...
Why?
I'm serious. Well, because it's always just countdown until they say something slightly inappropriate.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
Or smuggling something.
Anyway, this is an advice.
So, here's
my advice to British old people. How about you just stop bringing up racist stuff to me?
We have more emails. We've got one from Michelle in Watford about to read out. If you want to get in touch, at Fubar Radio on Twitter, studio@fubarradio.com.
Correct.
Get in touch with us and we can help you out. This one, Michelle in Watford, because we were talking about dates and stuff, we thought we'd stick on theme.
Love it.
She needs some advice. Hi, Carl and Chris. I need your advice. I have a first date tonight.
Ooh.
My date is cooking for me at the house. At his house. He's a really great guy, but with only one problem. He has a cat. The problem is, I am severely allergic. When I say allergic, I mean my eyes become tiny and very itchy. My eyes become tiny.
My eyes become tiny. Sounds like a different version of that song by Seal. My eyes become tiny and I start convulsing. Kiss from a cat.
Oh my God. Can you please play Kiss from a Rose right now? Is that possible, producer people?
We don't have it.
It's not teed up.
We'll see if we can get
we'll try to get it in the break.
Cue it up.
She's very allergic. Her eyes become tiny and very itchy. And I continually sneeze.
I just don't want dinner instead. I've got tiny eyes.
Please don't give it whiskers.
He seems really into his cats, and I think my allergy could be enough to put him off. If that doesn't, my red blotchy face might. Do you have any advice for me? Thanks, Michelle in Watford. Well,
I got a couple of things. First off, maybe you should warn this guy that you're allergic to cats.
Give him the heads up.
Because what will scare him way more than... what will scare him off going out with you more than you saying, I've actually got a bit of a cat allergy, is if you go into anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, you're just not explaining why your eyes are shrinking.
Yeah, why are your eyes so tiny?
Yeah, you must really love Seal.
I'm sure when we met, your eyes were not tiny.
Yeah. No, but when she recovers, her eyes will become larger. He just plays Kiss Her.
It's so normal, right?
I just can't believe
La La La.
Like, Seal, that was the only hit song he had, right?
Well, he's actually much more successful than we realise. He's got quite a good career in America. And also he sung on Adamski's Killer, which was a massive house hit.
He's also a very early 90s. very handsome man.
Do you think so?
Well, this is the thing, because he's obviously got some facial blotching. Yeah. But
how fit does he look despite that?
Yeah, exactly. So it's that whole thing like the Def Leppard drummer when they say like he's got one arm. How good would he be if he had both arms? Still, how fit would he be if he didn't have a facial disfigurement?
My eyes wouldn't be anything becoming larger when I see him.
Is that the only thing that become larger on me if I saw Seal without those faces? Again, it's a boner joke. Anyway, here's my problem with Seal is that his head's too small. B, she should have warned this guy. And also just like he's going to be around food and cat hair. Like you're just being... Miss, you're being silly. You need to be aware of your allergy. And you, as we all know, every time you have an allergic reaction, it gets worse. So you're literally taking your life in your hands. That is true.
Well, it becomes a worse allergy every time.
It becomes a worse allergy every time because the body is like, oh, this is an absolute poison. We have to shut things down to prevent it.
But shouldn't the body, if you imagine you have a reaction and then you survive it, the body should be like, actually, it went that bad, guys. Let's tone it down a bit next time.
I honestly don't know why it goes the other way, but I know it goes the other way. That's why anaphylactics, they can like find out you're anaphylactically allergic to something.
Yeah.
Because the first reaction, you don't choke to death. You just get like the blotches and swollen. It's the second one and each subsequent one.
Right.
Your throat closes.
I reckon she should show up to this date in one of them nuclear reactor suits.
I think
just show up like this outbreak.
And they can play Homer Simpson on Inspection Day?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she get him back to hers?
This is it.
Yeah, what's up with your listeners demanding to go to other awkward places?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe she's got a bad place too.
Maybe
I think she should just give him some warning. Just say, look, can you keep the cats out of my way?
Yeah.
Have you ever like dated somebody you're allergic to cats? I don't know if you guys
are.
No, I've never had that problem at all.
Someone said that, you know, with the allergy thing you just said, Benny Boots, my ex-flatmate, your current flatmate, he used to be really allergic to, like, shellfish and stuff.
Right.
But now he can start eating prawns. Like, does your body sometimes get past it?
Because your body changes on, like, a molecular basis every 7 years, which is why you always have to get...
And it's why your hair can change consistency.
Yeah.
My hair wasn't curly until I was, 19.
Yeah, mine became curly as I got older.
And I think it's now starting to get straighter, straighter.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, at the moment, I don't really have signs of balding, but, like, when the seven-year window hits, my hair could be, like, later as I'm out of here.
Yeah, it totally can.
Your hair just gets a transfer onto the floor.
Yeah, yeah. No, so you must... How old am I? Hang on. 7, 20, 21, 20... So next year could be the year.
That could be the year where it's a good bye-bye.
Oh, shit.
Anything
you should get a little, like a little buzzer go off, you've made it. Like,
Yeah.
A week later, you've got the all clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's the whole thing. Also, I don't... Just bring an EpiPen and show it to him and be like, listen, if anything goes wrong, you just stab this into my leg.
It's going to be like a way more like kind of neutral version of a Pulp Fiction where she's like a heroin overdose and you got hit her in the old.
I just feel like this advice, our only advice is, hey, maybe you should be aware that you're allergic to cats.
Yeah.
And be honest to the guy you're trying to get.
What kind of a bloke's going to go, oh, what's wrong with you?
And it does sound like a sitcom or a film where the two people fall in love and one's a cat lover.
Yeah.
And one has got a serious allergy to cats.
Or test him, get the allergy, look like Will Smith in Hancock. and then still see if he bangs you, and then that's a sign
of
love.
I'd say that's a sign that he's a monster. He should definitely just sort out her illness first.
Yeah. That's all, but you know what? You should also sort out not living in Watford. Boom!
Boom.
Oh. Take it. You've got that cookie store that I like to go to, though, and it's delicious.
I hope that advice was good. We're going to have a caller in the next section.
We've spoken for a long time.
We've got to go to a song, Carl.
Wow.
We've only got about just over half an hour of the show left to go.
This is unbelievable.
Time has flown by.
Because time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies when you're talking about Seal. We'll try and get Seal teed up.
Please.
Yo, Chuck, what's the move, man?
After public.
I was on my way up here to the studio, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I love a bit of Public Enemy.
Oh, that song
makes me so happy.
That song also does, just because it was used in the advert, just reminds me of the Paralympics. That was an exciting time for this country.
Which is going to be boycotted. We're going to boycott the Winter Paralympics due to Russia trying to start a war.
Oh, really?
With Ukraine? Yeah. Or against... in the Ukraine? Is that what's going on?
Well, weirdly, I thought you knew more stuff than I did about life, but I've read the Metro today.
But hang on, so we didn't boycott the actual Winter Olympics when gay people were being mistreated by the Russians.
We value the Ukraine more because the Ukraine is strong. That's a reference to Seinfeld. That was not a popular show here.
If I was gay, I would not be happy about it.
We have someone on the line. We have someone on the line. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Who is it,
Carl? Hi.
Who's this?
Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Sorry, I got to know your name. I lost all confidence in your name and suddenly thought it was Sarah, but I think that was our last caller. I had that the other day. I lost all door confidence the other day. Have you had that before?
There was a sign for the
toilets upstairs at this pub, and I went to grab what I thought was a toilet door, and it turned out to be a store cupboard, and then I just didn't want to open any doors after that. But anyway, Katie, thanks for calling us. What's your problem? Let's see if we can help you out.
My friend, the other day, he told me that he was going on a date at the weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, asking, didn't know he was dating, asking him how he met her. And he basically told me that he downloaded this dating app. And he shows me it on his phone. And it's a bit like, I don't know if I can name it, but it's a bit like Tinder.
Oh, right.
You kind of swipe it, you swipe people. It's a bit shallow. You've got to swipe people to the left and the right. And then you get matched.
Is it Tinder?
Was your friend on Grindr? Was he dating a man inadvertently?
It's not Tinder or Grindr.
Okay.
Why are you laughing? We're talking about dating apps. It's very serious.
It's like the swiping thing, but you have like a full profile as well.
Right.
So like a normal dating site. And I joined it, and like I'm single, but I'm not like desperate for a boyfriend or anything like that. And I kind of go on it occasionally, sort of the same way that I do. I'm doing a dissertation, basically, so I'm always procrastinating.
Okay.
And so I sort of go on it the same way I do, like, Flappy Bird.
Right. I just want to point out that
just have a little mooch around on it and see what the lay of the land is.
And I'll maybe get, like, one or two messages sort of a day kind of thing.
Just
and I've
to
never
know
messaged
you're
anyone back.
Okay.
I just want to point out that you started this call by saying basically, and then you've given us a lot of detail that may not be necessary.
There you go. I can do
it. Come on, what's the problem? So you're now on it. You get the odd message.
Well, I was in another friend of mine. I was telling him about it, and he found it. And then someone else comes in and says, "Oh, you're so desperate. Like, what? That's so pathetic that you're on this." And I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I just have a bit of fun. So
you're worried that people think you're desperate being on a dating site?
Exactly. So by having this app on my phone, sort of.
No.
Does that automatically define me as desperate?
No, it's 2014. Everyone's like Tinder is like massive.
Katie, listen. Mate,
it's more people probably go on online dating than not.
Can I suggest that you get an app to get better friends? Because it sounds like that your friend just does not respect you, and your decision is that you're just trying to make connections with people in the universe. Also, when you call into radio shows, let's be a little bit more concise, because I feel like War and Peace got to a point quicker than that phone call did.
I think the war that Russia started is over now.
Leia, a couple of things to cover while Katie was on the phone. The Ukraine has now become part of the USSR. As we all know, Hillary Clinton is now in the White House. And David Cameron is entering his second term as Prime Minister of the UK or of England.
Katie, we're just being silly.
I think you'd have literally nothing to be nervous about. I think literally pretty much every single person I know is on some form of dating site.
Let me float this theory. I just thought of it. What if this dude is trying to get into Katie's pantaloons?
Pantaloons.
I was going to say knickers, but then I always get nervous.
This could be true, Katie. Basically, he might be jealous that you're on there. Yeah. He's doing that thing that blokes do, which is when you can't express your feelings, you just act like a dick.
Yeah. How long have you been friends with this guy?
Say again?
How long have you been friends with this guy?
How long have I been friends with him?
Yeah.
About maybe 6 months.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. He totally wants to mash your pasty.
Oh!
Well, I don't,
Jonathan.
It was like he,
I don't even know what that means.
Sorry?
He said that the person that I was showing this app to is a boy, and he went and started calling him desperate, and then I said, oh, actually, I'm on it. And then he sort of was like, oh, what, you're on it?
I think this guy
really fancies you, Katie. Yeah.
So he's got classic school playground rules.
Yeah.
Be a bit mean to the girl you fancy, metaphorically pull your hair, metaphorically play kiss chase.
Some might say he's playing this dating game with gypsy rules.
No, I don't think he is. He's using playground rules. I think Katie should use gypsy rules and just knock him out.
Knock him spark out.
I think he's the dick. You've done nothing wrong, Katie. You are just doing what pretty much the majority of the single population in this country do.
Oh, well, I'm relieved to hear that.
What's your profile name?
Katie, what is your full name so we can add you on Tinder?
What's your Facebook reference? Yeah.
We have to do some Facebook checking on you. It's part of the show. It's on the big deal.
We need to do it for research purposes.
Yeah, we just need to... Did you enjoy your vacation in the Bahamas?
as you said, if you're not desperate, just keep getting him lovely messages.
Mm-hmm.
Make them.
They're not really lovely. They're mainly creepy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
this is the thing about these ones that are like instant messaging on like Tinder.
People
and
then think it's okay to say stuff you would never say
on other dating websites. Where I think it's just a case of you
send like an email.
You agree to meet up on like Tinder. You can just send a picture of your dick within. Not I know I haven't done this, but from what I've heard, is you can send like a picture of your dick like after a hello.
My friend Ben Jarman was on there for a bit. He's now sort of seeing a lady. I don't know if it was off that, but he was just showing me, like, he goes, obviously if you both tick the same person you find out, and he just sent his first message. I just read it by accident and went, can I just read that again? And he went, yeah, and he sent a message to a woman and all it said was, those are some pretty racy photos. No reply because he sounds like he's a dad speaking in the 60s. Who says racy photos?
Who's a naughty biscuit?
God. Have you had some proper dodgy ones, Katie? Have we lost her?
Katie?
Hello?
Hello. Have you had any really dodgy messages on it?
Like what?
What are we talking?
There was one that was like, it was basically just, oh, I don't want to say it, it's horrible.
Just go for it. There's no rules.
Katie, we already know you're doing a dissertation. You can get a little bit more detailed. We've got most of your life.
There's one that was about, like, it was like, you know, like when a screen when you send a text, it's like 3 pages long.
Yeah.
Basically describing what he would do.
Oh. Alright, well,
so detailed.
That is so long.
How did
as it, you have to scroll down on a message.
Although, from your
that's homework, isn't
from
it?
Your initial question, how long you dragged it out, that's probably what you mean. Just love a bit of detail. Just give me, look, I want to hear it, but I want 3 pages.
Did he mention kissing your neck? Because I feel like that written down is so creepy. I just want to kiss your neck.
Oh, it's much worse than that.
Much worse than that? What part of your body did he really want to kiss, like your elbow?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
That's gross. That's great. Yeah.
It sounds dirty.
And then the worst is that I seem to always get ones that are like, oh, are you out of breath?
What?
And then,
are you out of breath?
They're asking me if I'm out of breath.
What, like, are you asthma?
Well, sufferer.
Have you been hanging out with any cats recently and have an allergy to them?
I ignored them. And then one guy just obviously thought, okay, she's taking too long to reply. And he just put, it should be running through my mind, and I thought, oh, okay, that's obviously what everyone else is.
That is the shittest chat I've ever heard.
I know. Well, I thought it took me a while, but then this guy, I just thought it's funny, this guy got bored, and I was like, just decided to put it anyway.
Wow.
And didn't reply.
Should have said to him, are you a baseball bat because you're doing my head in?
Are you a baseball bat because you're doing my head in?
There we go.
Carl Donnelly, quote of the day.
That one up, guys.
Katie, I hope we've helped you.
Katie, yes, can you please use Carl's pickup line from now on? Mm-hmm. Say it back to us now, please. Carl, give it to her again.
I said, you need to reply with, are you a baseball bat? Because you're doing my editing. And then hopefully you'll never get a response.
Okay, I'll write that one down.
Good luck.
Say it back.
Good luck,
Katie.
In the minefield.
Yeah.
Don't touch any perverts. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, thanks.
That's it. Yeah, it's the minefield of online dating.
Ah, but I think that's the thing. I think it went from dating in the old days was you just had to like ask their dad.
Yeah. Like the village barn dance.
Yeah, and then it went into like actual dating when you'd invite them to a dinner.
I was always led to believe that there was dinner involved in dating. When's the last time you took a girl?
I don't like eating in front of someone new.
Yeah, but that's why you always go. That's why you go to swanky restaurants where the dishes are so tiny, isn't it? That's why if you take somebody to a gourmet restaurant, you can eat that shit without looking like
I saw a guy. I think he was me and my girlfriend had an anniversary in the Oxide Tower, which is quite a nice restaurant.
Mm. Yeah.
I got absolutely murked by the. What's he called? The sommelier on the old wine.
Yeah,
did you recommend anything? Yeah, he did recommend £100 bottle of wine.
Of course
wine.
He did.
It was called Fat of the Land, so I had to get it because it reminded me of that Prodigy album from when I was 10 years old. And I did buy it, and it was well nice, to be fair.
Did you write in the little memo portion of the bill, smack my bitch?
Yeah, Fatboy Slim is fucking in heaven. And then next to us was this bloke and a girl, clearly on a first date, and it's like, don't go Oxo Tower on your first date because that's you've gone too high end. You've gone too high end, and it was just an awkward vibe. It wasn't actually that good an atmosphere. The restaurant anyway. He was just going. So do you cycle much?
Oh,
and as soon as he said that, I was like, this is bullshit. I wanted to just like tip the table on that guy. And go, just get out of here while you can. Get out of here while you can.
Let me say this, by the way, a British, English person specifically who doesn't know how to talk to women, because either as an English person, you know exactly how to do it. You're calm. You're open. You just have a chat with the person. Or it is just watching the most awkward. Like
it's unbelievable.
Do you fancy a bit of swimming? What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, like
we all turn into, unless we're drunk, British men. 9 out of 10 of us just turn into schoolboys who've never just spoken to a girl before.
Yeah,
it's like,
totally.
Hi, you're really nice. Yeah, it's awkward. But Americans and Canadians, both North American, they're very confident. You'll chat someone up in the daytime in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
But most of us are giving funny names to the server, so they shout Clive, and you get to go, yeah, that's me, and I get your coffee.
I'm not saying I don't do that. I just do that on top of the flirting. It's because, and I swear to God, in Canada, you have winter to contend with. You have to get a girlfriend before December, or you're not having sex until
like
May. I'm serious. You're not. No one is hitting. No one looks attractive in the winter in Canada. You're dry skinned, wearing 8 coats.
Never thought about this.
There you go.
You got to get in. Strike while the iron is
hot.
That's
good advice from our Canadian bear. We've got a couple more bits of advice to read out before the end of the show. Thanks, guys. That was Gloria Lewis
by Caius.
Caius. It's the final leg, guys.
This is it. Final
home stretch, baby.
We did it.
We did it. We dished out a lot of good advice today, guys.
Yeah, we've been helping some babies. We've been making sure that cat allergies and internet apps are not getting in the way of getting your funk on. Yeah.
It's all been quite deep, you know. We've been helping out with some big issues. But we thought we'd do. I think we've got one here that's quite simple. I think it'd be quite nice.
Is it nice
this.
And simple?
Yeah.
We managed to make the simple and complex.
This is the last section, but you know, you can always drop us any questions for our next show.
Yeah, before we next come on air together. I mean, there's going to be the next show is going to be you and someone else, isn't it?
Because you're in Dubai.
I'm in Dubai, not looking at pornography.
In a prison. But you can get in touch at FUBAR Radio or email studio@fubarradio.com. And, you know, whoever I decide to bring in as my co advice giver.
They won't be as good as me.
Probably not, mate. They probably don't have our chemistry.
Who else is going to just turn Tiny Eyes into a made-up song by Seal?
Exactly.
Very few people.
So here we go. This is not a relationship-based question. This is quite a silly one. This is from Samantha in North London. She says, hi, Carl and Chris. At work, everyone talks about Breaking Bad.
Ooh.
I've never seen the show, but for some stupid reason, I've given a number of people the impression that it's my favourite programme. Do I give up the lie, or have I got to watch the whole box set, or should I go on talking about a program I've never seen? Thanks, Samantha.
It's John Hastings here. Let me solve this problem. One word for you: Wikipedia. Go read the episode descriptions.
Absolutely.
That will give you enough information.
Yeah.
And it'll take about 20 minutes. You'll have all that you need to know, and you'll be off to the races talking about other shows that are good. Also, for those of you thinking about starting Breaking Bad, you have to get through the first 3 seasons to enjoy the brilliance of the last two.
Yeah.
I'd say get past the first series is the one where it gets cut after 7 episodes due to the writer's strike.
Yeah.
And then I remember when you were watching before me, and at the end of series 2, because it cuts abruptly, but the end of every series, I'm like, my mind's blown. End of series 2, I was like, I did not see that shit happening.
Yeah.
End of series 3, and then you're right, 4 and 5 goes up and another level. Oh. You think this can't get any better? Yes, it can.
But another good thing that Samantha could do, which is, saves even having to read all that, go on one of them fan sites, them weird fan sites where they come up with loads of weird theories about what it means.
Yeah.
Just learn them. And it makes you sound like you know more than people that actually watch it.
Brilliant.
So they'll be talking about how great it was that season. And you're going, yeah, do you know it? As you look at the flower pot in the corner, you'll see that it's a picture of Walt's mum. You say stuff, they'll be like, oh, and they'll just think you're a super fan, and they'll back out of the conversation because they don't want to get into something that's over, you know, above their pay grade.
There's something that actually goes along with that that Samantha can use, that the character who played Mike, Jonathan Ronson, I believe is his name,
yeah.
He almost didn't take the role because he'd only ever played a baddie ever in his career.
He just thought, I want to be a good guy.
He's like, I'm old now, I don't want to play these bad guys anymore. And they were like, listen, we cannot, you have to do it.
I know what film I saw him in the other day.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Under Siege 2.
Under Siege 2.
I texted you, didn't I?
What is the... there's a tagline to Under Siege 2.
He stops the train driver and then goes, there's a problem on the track. Yeah. Goes, what is it like? You. Yeah. And then shoots
him. But what's it? It's called Under Siege 2.
Dark Territory.
Is it Dark Territory?
Yeah, Dark Territory. Listen, I love me the Under Siege.
Mate, I think I actually prefer 2 to 1.
Oh, it's also, so
in Under Siege show, I like the fact Ricky from Boys in the Hood plays a...
Oh my god, yeah, he does!
The guy on the train, he goes, I don't know what's going on, and then he gets he just helps him out.
It's one of those weird action movie tropes, which is they need the energetic black guy who comes in and gives comedic advice to the main character, also seen in Die Hard 1, the limo driver.
What's his name? What's the limo driver's name?
Lawrence, no. It's like...
This is bad
radio. Lavarius?
Lavarius. What kind of name is that?
What are we doing? We have the internet here.
Sounds like a high-class prostitute.
Lavarius.
Yeah. I've had Lavarius men this week. I don't know what that voice was.
What's the one movie or TV series that you've never seen that people get really upset
at? The Wire.
You've never seen it?
No, so I watched the first...
I've just done the reaction.
I watched the first 4 episodes and got busy. I was really enjoying it, but it's got busy.
Get less busy.
And it's too much of it.
Get involved.
You know what I mean? It's one of the things
it's daunting when you know it's ahead of you.
Yeah. Whereas Breaking Bad, I just got into as it was happening, so I could just follow it. I couldn't do the whole lot together.
Mad Men's my one. Never got into that.
I really like
it. It's just a bit too slow.
Let me say this about Mad Men. First series, fantastic. Second series, okay. Rest of it, no time for it at all.
Yeah, but it's still cool watching Don Draper just be a dick. It makes you wish that men could still act like that, innit?
You can, horrible. It's just you're going to have a lot less sex.
Yeah, you can't do it and be really cool with it, and women still like you. Now you just be a prick.
Box sets are a big part of our society now. It is difficult. I know.
I heard his name is Argyle, by the way.
Argyle. Great name.
There we go.
I find now with a girlfriend that never agree to watch a box set with a girlfriend because we're on the road a lot and I want to kill some time. I can't wait. I just need to watch that shit immediately.
I'm gonna break up with her. Even going in different directions.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through season 3.
Yeah. You want to watch season 3 of Homeland? I feel like it's run its course with the first 2 series.
Is it a girl and a guy thing? Or
second
do girls
series for me went off the rails of that.
Completely agree.
What's that? Which one was that?
Homeland.
Do you know what though? Series 1, 2, and 3, every series after about 4 or 5 episodes I'm like, this is bullshit, I'm out of there. And then just before I gave up on season 2, it just picked up again. It's like it does rope-a-dope. You think it's dead, it's not going to win, and then it comes from back from the dead.
It's just something I don't buy about it. I don't buy it. In the first season, I sort of just about bought that Damian Lewis, what he's up to.
He is good in it, Damian Lewis.
But, I don't know, there's something about a ginger Islamic fundamentalist.
It was the whole thing, that's actually what got to me also, is that there's just I just don't see him being... I didn't buy him being converted in the way that he was.
Not at all. It's nonsense.
It just it doesn't work for me at all.
No.
But that being said, Claire Danes plays a crazy woman.
She never gets together. I think I've seen her blink once in about 17 episodes.
How does she make her lip wobble the whole time?
Thank you very much. Yeah. And also just her confused sort of her breathing that's coming, it sounds like it's coming through her nose and then out her belly button. It's deeply...
She looks like she's permanently just been chased by a werewolf. Yes. She's got that look in her eyes.
And also, this goes forward, which is I want one day to be famous enough to afford a goon, a guy behind me that's just Mike, take care of Carl, and he snaps your neck or something like that. But more importantly,
just punches you in the stomach. Yeah, it's not about goon. Just comes out and leaves you on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah,
doesn't say anything, but you're on the floor.
Sucker punch.
And then obviously the boss says,
"Yeah,
there you go."
And then he maybe throws 20 quid on your face, just get yourself cleaned up.
Telling someone to get themselves cleaned up is something wicked.
Because what you're talking about, you just punch me in the belly. I ain't got to clean anything, mate. Yeah. 20 quid, I'm just going to go spend on crisps. cheer myself up.
But what I also want...
That's your go-to cheer-up thing. 20 quid of a crisp
chili heatwave Doritos.
Make you feel sad after.
Chili heatwave Doritos. Are those vegan?
They are vegan. But they're my go-to, like, hangover, just tired, whatever. If I need a dirty snack, chili heatwave Doritos. Game on, guys.
And what I also want is the Mandy Patinkin advice character. Like, things are going awry. And you walk into a room and he's just there with a long beard and a weird semi-open dress shirt. And he's like, gotten a report from the comedy club in Sheffield. Here's the strategy. And he just has this weird PowerPoint. I want that guy so bad in my life.
Yeah, he's good.
Also, greasy snack. Hummus with a nice cracker. Shockingly delightful.
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, mate. Hummus on anything's good.
Oh. I think crackers are something I've got back into.
Into a big bad way.
This is a Food Bar Radio where advice like that comes streaming
food
out.
Food Bar Radio.
No, genuinely, I've not been a cracker man for years, but I bought a big pack of crisp breads.
I'm all into the crisp breads.
2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, mate, those yellow ones from Sainsbury's.
The ones that are so light.
Gluten-free ones.
The ones that are just like light and
I feel
airy.
Like you're eating a cloud. So nice.
That's it, but a cloud of peanut butter on. Oh, which is my favourite type of cloud.
I love the other night. My mate Ben John, when I got back to the Turnham Green station where I live the other day, he's texted me going, I've just seen you walk past, and I had such a power walk on, got off the tube, went straight to the corner shop by there, bought myself a peanut butter because I'd run out. Oh. Knew I was going to go home, made myself peanut butter jam. Oh mate, on crisp bread. Oh. Wonderful times.
I'd worked out how to make a good satay sauce last week, and now life is good.
Food makes you feel good, guys.
Any other business before we start wrapping this up? Do you want to do one more email?
I'll do a quick one.
You've got one.
A couple of minutes before the end.
We've got 4 minutes.
Advice is needed. I have holiday book. Advice is needed.
Love how this guy's
starting.
I have
a holiday booked. It's Carla in Luton, so it's a lady.
Pardon me, Carla.
You're a massive misogynist.
Not massive.
You're a big guy. Anyway, I have a holiday booked for the summer. I thought booking a holiday would be the motivation I needed to get fit, a beach bod, if you like. However, I really have no motivation to go to the gym or eat healthy. Should I save myself the effort and embrace my figure, or should I do my best to get fit for holiday?
I'm going to be very indecent. Here's the thing, Carla. You need to evaluate if you find yourself pretty, and if you do, then don't fucking worry about it.
It's all about inner peace and inner happiness, guys.
Completely. And if you aren't happy, then you should totally lose some weight. But also remember that peanut butter on crisp bread is fucking delicious. And do not let that get in the
way. I think it's quite good for you. Peanut butter.
Depends on the type of peanut butter.
Yeah, no, it's not great for you if you eat too much. Peanuts are full of fat, mate.
Yeah, but they're natural fat. But some fat's good for you.
Yeah, but some fat's good for you. It still causes you to get fat.
Yeah, but good fat, though, isn't it? That's the good fat.
You don't get good fat on you. When they say that good fat, it means the ones that don't cause heart attacks.
A fat bottom, that's good. People like fat bottoms.
People like a fuller bottom.
Yeah, they want
a fat bottom.
Yeah, they don't want like ooh. They want it to be like oh. Yeah.
that's the noise you want to be hearing as you walk down
exactly.
the beach.
So let's say Carla. Here's what: do not lose any weight. Go on the vacation, and the noises you want to hear if you want to be accepted by society are like oh ho or not like yeah or
gonna get me some of that. You want to hear that in the background? Also,
I assume she's vacationing in a 70s stereotypical black man.
But
she could always, if she's just not gonna, if you ain't got time to get fit, sometimes you ain't.
Yeah,
just buy one of them old school swimsuits that just cover you up.
Like the red and white striped ones.
Yeah,
the one where you look like you're gonna go swimming with so many old people in a black and white photo, or you look like you're gonna jump off a massive diving board into a tiny cup at the bottom.
There's ways around it.
Let me be indelicate, Carla. If you really want to lose some weight. You live in the United Kingdom. Cocaine is very, very, very easy to get in this country. Just get yourself a little bit of problem with Charlie for a couple of months. You will slim down like wow. And you will also be able to talk about yourself ad nauseum.
So, and be confident in your look.
Oh, yeah. Confident whatever look involving feathers you feel. You'll
develop a cocoa.
But also, you're on holiday.
The board and you'll be fine.
You're on holiday, right? And also, a lot of this logic is get in shape for a holiday where you're just going to go and just drink and eat loads.
Exactly.
So you're going to lose it all anyway. Just
get in shape. Why not just get in shape for your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do it for a holiday because after that, the wheels are going to come off. No one's going to be judging. You're on holiday. No one cares.
It's going to be nothing but crab cakes and champagne in the morning.
Exactly. Guessing, Carla. I don't know where you're going, but you don't want to be chatted up by one of the guys that runs the jet skis. They're just
they're going to just sleep with you, yeah, and they're going to pretend it's going to be the biggest night of their life, and they're never going to speak to you.
Next week they'll be having off with a 16-year-old from Devon. We've got to start wrapping up.
John, where can we find you?
You can find me at johnhastingscomedy.com. I have an album that's coming out very, very soon called We Farted, which is a mixtape with me and a comedian named Dylan Gott. That's all available at johnhastingscomedy.com.
Wicked.
Check us out on Twitter, Cold Only, Chris Martin.
At Chris M Comedy.
And get in touch at FUBAR Radio or email studio@fubarradio.com. Listen to all the other shows. If you're still on the trial period, you can still use them.
Chris M. Carl D.
For a year subscription.
Keep getting us the advice. The more advice you give, the funnier we get.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks a lot for listening.